again. Legend lives on from the roots on down of the number one all sports talk station. The fan, it is said, never gives up for dead when the common man goes on vacation. With his jean pockets full, a couple, 3-4 pounds more than the tenor Fitzgerald weighed empty. Green Giant, it's true, was a bone to be true, relying on hockey aplenty. The interim at Pride, but he's also terrified, despite being a ruthless goose killer. As show producers go, he is lazier than most, despite the high standards of the host. Concluding some terms with some advertising firms, all the corner offices were thinking. Later that day, he couldn't find the words to say. Could it be that the tenor was sinking? His chattering teeth made a tattletale sound, and his voice cracked over the airwaves. And every rube knew, as Chad Abbott did too, 'twas the plight of the jolly Green Giant. The brakes came late and Carbonis had to wait. Landon continued to mumble. When meat sauce came in, it was amateur hour, and the ratings continued to tumble.
Yes, it's the final day of the Tenor Fitzgerald, at least for this week. As we've been moving along through the 4 days, definitely been taking on lots of water, which is exactly what happened in my basement this morning. Basement taking on some water. Hopefully that's not a sign of what's going to happen on today's show. From noon to three, I'm Brandon Molesky, interim producer. In for the common man, Dan Cole. Joe Perovich with me for the next 3 hours. And we do have lots of guests. Tom Kervers, assistant GM for the Minnesota Wild. He will join about a half hour from now at 12:35. I would like to get a health update from him. And, of course, talk about his Minnesota Wild team that is trying to make a playoff push here in the last 12 games. Lil B, typically on Fridays, but because both Common and I are off tomorrow, Dave Sinekin will be in this spot tomorrow, noon to 3. Lil B will join 1:15 for 2 segments today. The second segment, we're going to have a little crossover action with Meat Sauce, who is my 2-3 guest today in studio. But we have the initial game prepared for us. So Lil B versus Meat Sauce in the initial game at 1:35. And then Meat Sauce in for the last hour on a variety of topics. What's going on, Joe?
What's going on, Jesse? I mean, Jamie. I mean, Brandon.
Yeah, you're screwing up names beforehand, but that's fine. Yeah. I do that all the time. I am the worst person in the world when it comes to remembering names.
I have a lot of letters right. Which is kind of unnerving, because how many other people do I have the amount of letters right?
But hopefully we'll someday have just some sort of technology, since we're all just going to be like, we won't even have cell phones someday. It's just going to be programmed in our brain, and it'll automatically have like name tags on everyone's forehead for us all to read for people like me that can't remember. But you're with me for the next 3 hours, and given we've pretty much got every segment already filled up, that means we have to start with this, just like we did yesterday. Second straight day, we start with...
He's into the end zone for the touchdown!
Time now for obligatory daily NFL headlines.
Nick Foles in for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That means Blake Bortles now officially out. Just 1 year after signing Bortles to a 3-year, $54 million deal, Jaguars have cut the third overall pick in the 2014 draft. And per a league source of ProFootballTalk.com, it came without the post-June 1st designation, so that will result in a cap charge of $16.5 million this season. Utterly disappointing, Joe, a guy who was you know, at that time, the best quarterback, or they thought, in that draft. I thought he had an encouraging rookie season. Maybe that's just the fantasy football guy in me, because all we saw was the fantasy football stats. Like, he was putting up yardage and scores. Now he's throwing a lot of interceptions, and his team wasn't winning. But he was putting up some fantasy numbers as a rookie, and I think everyone thought from that point on, here's a guy who's going to keep ascending, and he just reverted big time.
Yeah.
And I'll be curious to see what happens to his career moving on forward here, at least through the next couple of years. I don't expect him to have a starting job this year. Where he lands up as a backup, he's still one of those guys, because of he's still relatively young and he still has clearly talent and potential, that you know, I think he will at least be a coveted backup.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in Allen Robinson, the now wide receiver of the Chicago Bears, who was with Blake Bortles in Jacksonville.
You think Robinson was the reason for his success?
I think it was one of the reasons. I mean, that's the only reason that Christian Hackenberg looked good at Penn State was because he had Allen Robinson.
And really? And you think he's that good of a receiver? He's good.
I think he's that good. I think he didn't show everything last year. And then Bortles played one of the worst playoff games ever against Tyrod Taylor against the Buffalo Bills. No one wanted to watch that. But yeah, he'll be
they
a
did
backup.
Get to a conference championship with
him. Right.
Though.
Yeah, against the Steelers. That
defense was
it.
Unbelievable that season.
I mean, he'll be a backup somewhere. I mean, he'll get another chance to start again. Go.
Obligatory daily NFL headlines.
I hate the NFL Combine, and then I hate Pro Days even more. I just think they're just so useless.
Yeah.
And now it's like every single Kyler Murray Combine, Pro Day, what did he do, what he didn't do, has to become a story. Mm-hmm. And of course, now we're talking about it on Obligatory Daily NFL headlines. But Kyler Murray had his Oklahoma Pro Day workout yesterday at Oklahoma. Did not do the 40-yard dash, did not do agility drills. I believe he also did not have his height measured, which is...
Yeah, he said he was going to.
You know, and people make a story to that. We know he's short. We know he... Yeah. I don't need to know the exact quarter inch that Kyler Murray is. I think NFL scouts and NFL GMs can look at him and go, you know what? He's a little undersized. I'm going to factor that into my decision. We don't need to panic on whether he's 5'10 or 5'9 and three quarters. It doesn't matter. That quarter of an inch doesn't matter in any way, shape, or form. But... So Murray did not do the 40-yard dash, did not do agility drills, and he said, quote, I'd like to get out there to run, but I don't think it's necessary for me. I didn't want to pull anything before I got the chance to throw. I think the film kind of speaks for itself, and amen, Kyler Murray. If there are any scouts or any general managers or anyone in the front office that's going to a pro day and judging what you see on the throws he's making or what he does on agility drill when you've just had... lots of games on tape to look at and actual football games, and you're going to take priority over the pro day over what he puts on tape, then you're not going to last very long in the National Football League, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. We have evidence of him deking out defenders. We don't need to see Cones or Ricky Rubio, you know, on a chair, like, which is what the issue
is.
That's
a skills competition. Can he play football? Or
yeah, he can, yeah.
It's more important for him to succeed. He's clearly athletic. He can throw the ball. Mm-hmm. His success in the National Football League depends on whether he can read defenses or not. It has nothing to do with how he does in the agility drill. And we know he's got agility, and we know he's athletic.
Yep.
Obligatory daily NFL headlines.
49ers adding another running back. They did it last year, of course, with our guy, Jerick McKinnon. He signed a four-year, $30 million last year. Well, now, Tevin Coleman, two-year, $10 million deal with the 49ers. He was the best available running back after Le'Veon Bell and Mark Ingram are both off the board. So now 49ers still have, is it Matt Breida?
Matt Breida.
From last year.
Great signing, Tevin Coleman.
McKinnon never really played. I mean, Tevin Coleman's he's a solid 1B, 2-ish kind of running back.
But $5 million is like not much.
No, that's a decent deal. But, I mean, when you got, $7.5 million tied up in McKinnon. And
true.
They're going with just a bunch of running backs, which... Given how they were bitten by injuries so much last year, I don't blame them. And of course, Coleman played in Kyle Shanahan's offense when Shanahan was in Atlanta, so he's very familiar with him. I was a little disappointed in Coleman last season. I thought he would take a little bit of a bigger role with what's the starter in Atlanta's name that I'm
Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, Devontae Freeman. He was basically hurt the entire season.
Yep.
I was expecting Tevin Coleman to emerge, and he did not. And he probably costed himself a lot of money last year.
Obligatory daily NFL headlines.
Teddy Bridgewater visiting the Miami Dolphins today. So this story's kind of gone back and forth where he allegedly had turned down Miami because he wanted to stay in New Orleans, and now he's visiting Miami. So I don't know if Miami was throwing more money at him or giving him a better role there. I'm guessing the first time they were talking to him was probably like, yeah, Teddy, well, you can come down here and compete for the starting job, but guess what? We're going to draft somebody, so you might end up in the same situation you were with the New York Jets last year, where you get signed, and then all of a sudden they go out and get a starting quarterback in the first round.
Right.
And maybe he thought, but now there's talk of Sean Payton not being in New Orleans long term.
This is the first thing that legitimizes that.
Yeah, so now
actually his reasoning.
So now Teddy's maybe now going back and forth. Yeah. So maybe at this point, and we'll have Mietzos on at 2 o'clock today. Mietzos said he wasn't going to Miami because he was afraid to play, which is the most ridiculous take I've ever heard in my life. But maybe he's now going back to Miami just to prove Mietzos wrong.
Obligatory daily NFL headlines.
And now I know why Sean Payton might be flirting with going somewhere else, because the Saints restructured quarterback Drew Brees' contract yesterday, which for 2019 reduces the cap number, his cap number, from $33.5 million to $22.7 million. But that pushes $10.8 million in cap dollars to 2020. When you couple that with the cap dollars that were already on the books for him for 2020, which is $10.5 million, his cap number next year will be $21.3 million, whether he's on the team or not. Now, this is the last year of his deal, so if he retires or signs elsewhere, Brees will count for $21.3 million against the cap. If he stays, anything he makes next year will be added to that $21.3 million cap charge. Wow. So let's say he signs for 1 year, $20 million next year. Drew Brees' cap hit for 2020 will be $41.3 million. So maybe Sean Payton's going, this ain't just going to work. They ain't going to work here. My star quarterback's about to retire. I'm going to have nothing left. I'm going to have no cap money. This team's going to go from this is all-in season for the New Orleans Saints. It's win it now, because if you don't win it, you're going to be 4-12 next the following season.
Right.
That's what's going to happen in New Orleans.
Obligatory daily NFL headlines.
And just a couple other notes. Jared Cook, tight end for the Raiders, visiting the Saints today. The Chicago Bears are hosting HaHa Clinton Dix. Obviously, the Bears lost Adrian Amos to the Green Bay Packers. They got opening in their secondary. I like HaHa Clinton Dix. I think he's a solid player.
Yeah, he's good.
And the Bears did officially cut their kicker, Cody Parkey, yesterday. Mm-hmm. Given the Minnesota Vikings technically don't have a kicker right now, we have not signed anyone. I still think Dan Bailey could come back, but Cody Parkey now on the market. Didn't he actually, wasn't he kicking relatively well, except for he had the one game where he just kept hitting the...
Yeah, he hit the upright, I think, four times
in one four
game.
Times in one game.
Yeah.
So that was.
We don't need him.
But overall, well, we need anyone.
We need anyone.
Whoever the best kicker is, we need him.
Yeah.
All right, here's what we're going to do next. You are going to play over or under with against the listener.
Yeah.
So if they would like to join, 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326. The winner will receive NCHC Frozen Faceoff, a pair of suite level tickets to the semifinals on March 22nd, next Friday, and then also a pair of suite level tickets to the third place championship game, March 23rd. So give us a call right now. We'll play some over or under next.
It's the interim producer filling in as the interim host. You're listening to Brandon Molesky on The Fan. Flash rules.
Head on out to Brothers Bar and Grill for the Minnesota Twins home opener celebration March 28th. Gleeman and the Geek will record a live podcast from 11 to noon, and then the Common Man program will broadcast live from Brothers noon to 3 p.m. You'll have a shot to win tickets to the game on site, but you can head over to our contest page for more information and to register to win tickets now to opening day.
All right, 10 to be in for the Common Man, Dan Cole. Tom Curvers, assistant GM for the Minnesota Wild, joins next. But now it's time to play.
Over or under?
All right, Joe, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a caller up. I'm going to ask you three questions. The answer of every question is a number. You need to give the closest possible guess you can get and make it challenging for our listeners to win.
Sure.
If they get two or three, they have to determine whether the correct answer is over or under the answer you give. If they get two out of three correct, they are going to the NCHC Frozen Faceoff, getting a pair of suite level tickets to the semifinals on March 22nd and the third place championship game on March 23rd. I need you, Joe, because Donaldson was in Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Zach was in yesterday. Not one win out of those three. They lost all three. And frankly, I need to kill 10 minutes of time here.
So are you saying like they give a number and then the person always got it right in terms of over-under?
Yeah.
They, but, none of them got it
right? Well, because their answers were so bad that it was easy for the listeners to win.
Gotcha.
I mean, so ultimately, you can't determine whether they're going to get over or under, but you got to make it as close as possible, so it's challenging for them.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Think you can handle that?
Yeah.
All right, let's begin with the first caller. Down in Cottage Grove, it's Jason. What's going on, Jason?
Not much. What's going on?
You want to go to that NCHC Frozen Face-Off?
I do.
All right, you got to win it, though, first.
All right.
Here you go. You know how the game's played?
I do.
All right. Joe, question number one. What is the number of the most bras removed by one man in 1 minute? What is the record? The number of the most bras removed by one man in 1 minute.
Wow. Okay.
And the beauty of it is while you're thinking, you got to talk it out.
Okay.
Because we're on the radio.
Right,
if you sound like an idiot, that's
right.
Fine.
So I'm going to say
that... I prefer you sound like an idiot.
For the record, for the Guinness World Record, somebody has to be removing more than one per second.
I can't tell you it's the Guinness Book of World Records. I'm just saying,
what is the
number of the most bras removed by one man in 1 minute?
Okay, so my logic is that, it's not a Guinness, but I'm guessing that the person that holds a world record is doing it more than one per second.
Okay.
So the record for 60 seconds, at least, I think it would be 120, at the very least.
120?
No.
Oh.
At least. So, but I'm going to say that this person is an overachiever.
Okay.
And that this person is experienced. I'm going to say 150.
150. Jason, you going to take the over or the under?
I'll go under.
You know, the actual number this guy got, I thought was very impressive. 150 is on a whole nother level.
Okay.
150 in 1 minute? That's 2.5 bras a second.
Yeah.
The correct answer was 56. Which is still...
One a second?
That's a lot!
Apparently not enough people have tried this.
Are you that good at taking off a bra?
No, but...
That's 56 without like getting hung up on any of them. And he was doing it all with one hand, by the way. It was Thomas Vogel of Germany. He unfastened bras on 56 women with one hand in 60 seconds. That's
props
crazy.
Props to him.
Most of us, it takes us 56 seconds to get one off. All right. Question number two. Jason, you get this one right, you're going to the NCHC Frozen Face-Off.
Nice.
Joe, how many cows are needed to supply the NFL with enough leather for a year's supply of footballs? How many cows are needed to supply the NFL with enough leather for a year's supply of footballs?
Okay. Not knowing how many footballs they use per game, I'm going to say...
I can't wait for this, man.
32 teams, 16 games a week, roughly. Excluding bye weeks. So 16 times 16. 10 times 10 is,
Get out your calculator for you.
I will say...
You can do all that math you want, but I couldn't tell you how many cows it takes for one football.
My guess would be like 5. I'm going to say...
5 cows for a football or 5 footballs for a cow?
5 footballs for a cow.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say... 400.
400. Jason, for the win, you can take the over or the under?
I'll go over.
Your money, you know what else?
Wow.
You're a big winner tonight. I want to leave. You're a big winner.
Jason, you're a winner. The correct answer was 3,000 cows.
Oh, my God.
You are going to the NCHC Frozen Face-Off. Hold off for about 7-8 minutes until we get to commercial break, if you can.
All right, cool.
All right, thank you. You know, I put 12 questions together last night, and we get through two.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions. Ah, people say I don't work hard. All right.
Rest in peace to the cows.
We got about 5 minutes then before we move on to Tom Curvers, Minnesota Wild assistant GM. I do have a couple Twins notes. It's sad that I think this way with this organization, but even a story that I saw today should be a very minor story, yet I look at it and have such a negative outlook towards it because I'm like, I'm scared of what the future is going to hold.
Yeah.
So Lavelle Neal, Star Tribune, has a story today about pretty much that the Twins were offering Jose Berríos, I think our star pitcher, our future star pitcher, our opening day starter, 2 consecutive seasons under 4.0 ERA, but supposed to be, supposedly our ace for this season and hopefully for the seasons to come. They offered him a contract of some sort, and he turned it down. Now, we don't have any information on the details, so that does make it a little dicey in terms of whether I'm going to take Twin side here or Barrio side here. But whenever I see a story like that, my guess is Twins lowballed them.
Right.
That's what they do.
Yeah, first offer. Right?
And so now Barrios has opted to do a one-year contract worth $620,000. So he's going all in on himself. He's saying, give me that low dollar amount. I'm going to pitch well enough or I'm going to make a lot more in the future. And he is looking for reportedly a multi-year contract closer to the guaranteed $40 to $45 million that Luis Severino and Aaron Nola received this winter. So I'm curious, one, what did the Twins offer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, did they offer $35 million? Did they offer $20
million? Yeah.
You know, is it one of those 4 years, $20 million contracts, which would be a joke?
The Dozier.
So one, my guess is they lowballed him, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah.
I'd like you to give him a fair deal because I do think he's going to be a good pitcher. And then two, now I'm worried about what this means going forward in two different ways. One, whenever you have a player that could potentially be a star and you're not giving him what market value is, or at least what he thinks it is, and like I said, I don't know the dollar figure, so I might be wrong on this. My fear is, A, now come contract time, he's more likely to leave someday because you're lowballing him.
Yeah.
The second part of this is, I always fear that the Twins sabotage their guys that can make big potential money.
Why is that?
It's just, I feel like they've done it a lot with Sano and have constantly thrown his weight out in the newspapers.
Sure, yeah.
Just it's almost like whenever they have guys, even like Buxton last year, they don't call him up in the last month and change.
Yeah.
I feel like they try to sabotage too often the guys that are going to make the most amount of money because they don't want to have to pay him the big contracts. And my fear is all of a sudden Barrios is on the 15-day DL and they do the old, you're hurt too much. You got to go back down. You're going to go to Rochester and go down there for a month because you're not looking very good. And I feel like they try to chop the legs of some of our top players and lower their values. Now, I might be completely wrong. I hope they don't do that with Barrios. I hope Barrios performs so well that they have to pay him eventually because that's good for everybody. Mm-hmm. But it's sad that the organization has had such a history of lowballing and being cheap that even a story like this that comes out that could be just a very innocent story, that's where my mind goes.
Right. Yeah, and I the way I look at it is, I mean, he didn't take the offer, so he has to pitch really well on a $600,000, what did you say it was?
$620,000,
okay. Yeah. So he has to pitch really well to get that contract, and there's an unlimited cap, you know, in baseball, of course. So the Twins love to keep their own guys.
The Wolves are a whole other story.
Yeah, the Wolves are another story. The Twins love to keep their own guys. So you would assume if he pitches up to what he thinks he's going to do, or enough to at least satisfy like both sides to pay him that money, that means that the Twins have him at a low contract this year, and he pitched really well. And, you know, what's another, I don't know, what, $20 million over the life of the contract? They're going to keep their own guys. That's what they do. But, like you said, sabotaging. That's an interesting angle.
Here's my prediction.
Okay.
Something is going to come out this summer regarding Jose Barrios.
To drive down that contract?
Right. Yeah. It's going to be, he's a problem in the clubhouse. Not everyone likes him. Or, he's not coachable. He doesn't listen to the coaches. Or, he's gained a few pounds. Or, you know, something along that lines will come out with Barrios, even if he's pitching well. They'll find a way to drive down his value. That's my guess.
Okay.
I hope I'm completely wrong. I hope the Twins in their new front office doesn't do that approach. Mm-hmm. And it's sad that my mind even goes that way, and that's the way I think when it comes to that organization. Yeah. But that's my prediction right now.
Okay.
A weird, just kind of a subtle jab towards Jose Barrios is going to come out at some point this year to try to drive the amount of money he wants to make down. Minnesota Wild assistant GM Tom Curvers is my guest next.
It's Tenna B in for Common on the Fan. Fan.
Big game for the Minnesota Wild tonight. They host the Dallas Stars at Xcel Energy Center. The Wild 1 point behind the Arizona Coyotes. for the second wild card spot, the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. The assistant general manager for the Minnesota Wild is Tom Kervers, and he joins me now. Tom, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Brandon. Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, great to talk to you. It's been a while. I hope you're doing well. And I do want to ask you, for the listeners that don't know, you were diagnosed with lung cancer officially, what, mid-January, a couple months ago. So I guess I'll get the obvious question out of the way. How's the past couple months been for you, and how are you feeling now?
Well, cancer's all around us, and you learn that in a bigger way when you're faced with a diagnosis. And it's a real challenge, a real life challenge, mentally and physically. Physically, just the biopsies that they did, they get in and take some samples, and they're in your lungs, and they leave a couple paper cuts in there. That was a little bit uncomfortable for about 3 weeks. I had to do that twice. And then mentally, you have to figure out your way to carry on, because it does come as a shock. So, challenging 6 weeks. We're now 5 weeks into treatment, and I got a real good break, a match with targeted oral chemotherapy program. So I take a pill every morning. The side effects are far less, and the success rate of this drug has been very good. We won't find out for 3 more weeks when we do scans, and then we'll go from there. But certainly a difficult time for family. My friends rallied around. The family's been strong. You find out that, there's some stuff out there you have no control over. So doing real well. Feel great today. Spent most of an hour trying to dig a trench in the yard to keep the water from coming up the basement. So still moving around a little bit.
Well, I should have had you at my house this morning, because I got water in my basement when I woke up this morning. So
I'm not a hired gun. That's one time I'll do it this winter.
How has it changed just your, kind of like your daily routine? I mean, how much of it has been, a little bit, different from than it was before, and both from a daily routine around the house and both with your job with the Minnesota Wild?
Yeah. Well, let's start with around the house. I haven't spent 6 weeks at home since probably when I was in high school. 6 weeks at home. And
yeah,
after living a scout's life for over 20 years, and you're on the move 4 or 5 days a week. So that was a sharp, quick transition. And then professionally, the team has done everything they can to make my situation the best it can be. I've sort of shoveled my work different directions. Paul's taken on a chunk of it. Shep Harder's taken on a chunk of it. Ryan Hunter's taken on a piece of it. Chris Kelleher's taken on some of it. And I'm, kind of in this, seek and figure out how our plan of attack is going to work. So I just show up for our home games and try to keep tabs on our team. And I talk to Tim Army in Iowa and keep up with what's going on there. And I do plan to get down to Des Moines to see our team play. It just hasn't worked out yet to this point on the schedule. So far less duty. It's a big break for me with everything that's happened to be home and working for the hometown team, because the support systems here and the team with their medical connections have made it expedited. I've been treated very well with great doctors, great faith in our doctors here that are connected to the team. And so all that's worked out really well, and I'm thankful for being here, because it's made a manageable situation.
Now, with your role with the Wild, then obviously you're putting a lot of your stuff on other people's plates. So, but during the trade deadline, when you guys are getting Donato and you're getting Fiala, how much input were you having and discussions were you having with Paul and the rest of the group during that time?
Paul went out of his way to keep me posted on what was going on. It was a little close to the diagnosis, and you're a little bit scrambled mentally and trying to regroup after some shocking news. So I would say I was less of a participant than I've ever been in my 20 years around the trade deadline, where I've been a scout with a duty or a group of teams that I was expected to have great input on and potential trades. So the trade deadline came and I was there and maybe a sounding board for Paul more than anything. And then, as life goes, we had to put our dog down that day.
Oh no!
We got hit. Our family got hit with a tough one there on trade deadline, about an hour before the deadline. Oh. I got news for that. So you know what? You just you got to keep taking the blows and keep carrying on. And we miss our dog, and the timing was off, but you know, those things just happen, and it was really hard on us.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. We're talking with Tom Curvers, assistant GM for the Minnesota Wild. Wild versus Dallas tonight. You'll hear that game right here on The Fan. You know, it appeared as if you and Paul and the rest of the group were just going to kind of sit back and evaluate this team through the good portion of the season. Clearly, you did that until the trade deadline. So what did you learn about this team as you guys were just sitting back and observing your first year on the job?
Well, I learned that what I thought I knew didn't necessarily line up with what reality was. Once you get under the hood and you're part of things here, you can, I mean, I observe this team as much as any scout. I was at 25 to 30 games a year for the last 15 years that I've lived here. And you kind of think you know, but you really don't know. There's just a lot of information. There's a lot of things going on. And I learned a lot about a group of guys that have been a pretty good team for the last 6 years. And, you know, there's some pressure here. There's some playoff, I don't know, well, it's not easy to call it failure. There were a couple of series wins and kept running into really good teams. And you got to have a break in the matchups as well. So I see why they were successful as we went along this year. I don't think we were doing quite as well as the team had been the last couple of years. And the changes were made, I think, with the changes and then some injuries that we had. A couple guys got opportunity, and they were waiting for opportunity, and they seized the opportunity. And I think it kind of energized our team maybe 3 weeks ago when we went on a good streak. We started looking like a little younger, hungrier team. Part of that could be the trades. Part of that opportunity for guys we already had. And I really liked the way we looked. And now we've lost a couple, but our go-to style of play got a little more energetic and a little more pursuit of the puck. It just looked a little more hungry than it had been for most of the year. And if we can find that again tonight, it'll be a tough matchup with another team like ours, a good team, but not a completely perfect team. Bishop's been really good this week, so we got to figure out a way to get to him earlier the better there, because if he gets going again, he's got 3 shutouts in a row. These goalies are like pitchers. Once they find it, they hold on to it for as long as they can. And he's been a good goalie over time.
Is it fair to say, after evaluating the team, just based on the changes you make, that you clearly were, one, looking to get younger and maybe shed some salary, but for me, it just looks like the team's just playing with a lot more pace than they have for quite some time?
I think that goes with maybe some of it was adrenaline for the guys getting a better opportunity than they had with other teams. And some of the guys that we had, I'm thinking of Ek and Cunning, who, you know, we didn't have the opportunity for them. And then the door opened with injury and the door opened with opportunity, and they jumped at it. I thought Ek and Cunning, as much as any two players on our roster, provided a new source of energy for us, and it brought along some other guys with them. And then we got some clutch goals and some good performances, and you know, we got on the kind of roll we need to get on again, really, to make the playoffs. And so it's there. It's recent. A couple of tough losses this week, and you just got to get back on the horse and play hard again tonight. And I've seen our team now look like we got a chance to win, a chance to stay in the game, even if we get down a goal. We don't flatten out. We keep coming. Even the game the other night, it ends up being a 3-0 game, but we were pretty good for the first half of the game. I thought we were, you know, we had as many or slightly more scoring chances than San Jose, but they're a good team and they capitalized. We couldn't. And so I like how we're playing, and without really pointing to certain guys, it seems like the group of guys started going a little harder, and whatever elements came into play, that put us on that good streak after things were looking pretty bleak after the All-Star game.
You mentioned Eriksson Ek and Cunning getting more of an opportunity, and I think both have taken advantage of it since their elevated role. But that does lead to a question coming up this summer. When you have a guy like Mikko Koivu, 1 year left on his deal, given where he's at with his age and coming off a knee injury, how do you evaluate this summer what to do at the center position when it's kind of an unknown what you're going to be able to get out of Mikko?
Yeah, we expect Mikko to be back and be part of the team, and he's got a presence here, and he's a dependable player. And, you know, those knee injuries are tough injuries. It took Cunning, you know, probably 9 months, maybe close to 10, to find the real pop in his stride. It's a tough injury to return from, and Nico's putting the work in. He's moving around the press box, and he's doing all the off-ice work that goes with an injury like that. So we expect him to be part of things next year. And, you know, we have some guys that can play multiple positions, and you see it here and there. And I think things will settle in. I think we'll be fine at center. We got Stahl signed, and Nico's coming back, and we have Rask, and Cunning's played some center, and Greenway's played some center. So, you know, it doesn't look like a hole to me. It's got to lay in properly. And, you know, that's talking about next September, October. We'll get to that then. But I think we're fine at that position. It's not like we have a gigantic spot that we got to go grab something and find something on the free agent market or make a big trade and create another hole to get a center in here. They're hard to come by in any case.
Matt Dumba did skate yesterday. Where's he at in his rehab? Is there any shot of him returning at all this season?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I know that he's been diligent in his rehab, and he's young and he's strong, and he's got all the desire in the world. So when it's time, if it's this year, he would jump back in. But I don't even know how to answer that one, because I'm not sure. I'm not talking to the doctors every day. And, you know, he's doing all the things he has to do, and he's putting the time in. And, you know, we're going to have him back at some point. I'd be hard to say he's going to come back this year, but then that's not really my department. So we'll see. If he can, I know he'll want to play.
It seems like there was a disconnect between the previous regime and Kirill Kaprizov, kind of your Russian phenom over there, who's got one more year before he could technically come over here. What's that relationship been with you guys, with the brand new regime, and trying to, you know, to garner that connection with Kaprizov, and how's that been going with him?
Well, Paul made a real appointed trip to go and sit down with them and get to know them and let them know how much we want to have them here. You know, he signed that contract. That's a commitment. That's a league deal. That's honored. And so we're forced to wait. We think the relationship's good, and we think we've got a really good spot for him to join our team and give us a real game breaking force, you know, once he gets here. And I'm hearing, I haven't seen him play in quite some time. I saw him play some international events in years past, but I didn't see him this year. Some people on the scout circuit have grabbed me and just said, hey, this guy's a star. And that's different than hearing it from the media or hearing it from his own agent. That's a neutral guy who works for another team, my old team, telling me you got a great player coming here. So I liked hearing that, and I didn't ask the question. I was just told. And so I look at it like we're just going to have to be patient here. If something breaks and he can come next year, we'd love that. But as I see it, as I understand it, we're waiting for that contract to expire. And it's no different for a kid from Cloquet or a Moscow. They look at the NHL as the place they want to be. That Russian league's a good league, but this is the best league, and I think he wants to be here and play.
Other than when your old team plays the Minnesota Wild, they're having a pretty good season.
Yeah, no kidding. That's I guess I was supposed to put money on the board, but I didn't make it to Tampa on that one. But that was a pleasant day. I got up in the morning, had breakfast with my boys, a 12 and a 10-year-old. My 10-year-old Roman said, I said, hey, Wild at Lightning tonight. And he said, are we going to get crushed? And I said, well, wait, we haven't played yet. And so we got that win. So we were pretty excited here because they're kind of in that swag transition from blue to green. They still have some of their leftover Lightning stuff that they're not quite willing to part with. So
sure.
Those two wins this year kind of helped move that along.
Your squad, and really historically, the Minnesota Wild, even when they haven't had great teams, have always been a tough out at home. But this year, just 1-5-3 in your past 9 home games, haven't won in regulation at the X since January 19th. Do you have any theories as to why this team has been good on the road but has struggled at home?
I don't get it. It doesn't really make sense in the overall scheme of how the league works. Teams are, you know, teams with records like ours generally, you know, and when that's most of the teams in the league, that's 2/3 of the teams in the league are like us. They're a bunch of good teams, imperfect, but good teams. And most of the time you have a better record at home than the road. I don't even know what to attribute it to. We've had a couple games slip away from us at the end. We've had things go wrong and play poorly when we had homestands, and so we lose a stretch of games that we expected to win. You look at the homestand and you start thinking, hey, four or five games, we should win 3-4 of those. Hasn't worked out that way, but like this team for a number of years, when you say they can't, they do. And when you expect them to go over the top and win, it hasn't worked out that way. So here we are. I had a sandwich with Rick Bonus last night, Dallas assistant coach, a longtime co-worker in Phoenix and Tampa, really good guy. And he says the same thing about their team as we say about ours. We're not quite complete. We got a hole here. We got problem there. We got this guy not quite able to do that job there. And we're similar. And so we're in a battle with a bunch of these teams that are kind of like that. And it's going to be a battle to the end. And really, Dallas is on a streak right now with Bishop going hot. St. Louis put themselves above this pack with Binnington getting hot. Arizona's riding Kemper right now. So, you know, when you really dial it down, the teams get tighter and the goaltending matters more this time of year.
So last question, specifically talking about your opponent tonight. It seems like Dallas just having a season that's opposite of what we're accustomed to. Usually they're good offensively, bad defensively. This year they're good defensively, getting great goaltending, and maybe not as high powered as we're typically accustomed to. What's the challenge in winning tonight's game?
Get a goal on Bishop so he doesn't settle in for another great night at the rink like he's had this week. Get a goal in the first period. That to me is the key. Then we'll have two or three guys on the scoreboard feeling like, even if it goes in off a shin pad, it's going to feel like it's your kind of night. If you can get on the board, you're an offensive guy. We've got some talented players here that they need that goal early in the game. It launches them into a better level of play. And you know, we need that, you know, just to have a sense of comfort. When any team gets behind, they don't play as well. And it leads to more errors. You know, guys revert to being a peewee again. Their team falls behind. They grab the puck and they try to go coast to coast. They still do it. That's how they're brought up playing the game. And you try to avoid that. You try to tell them not to, but it's hard not to. So you get a lead, and then everyone can play in the system that the coach demands instead of trying to score the goals to help the team, creating more errors. So get a goal early on Bishop, and then, you know, have the energy to push it all game long, and that's the key for me.
Tom, thank you so much for your time. It's great to hear you again, and keep fighting.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, thanks. Tom Curver is assistant GM for the Minnesota Wild. We are going to do five questions next, Joe. You got to tease it all.
The Gophers are going to the tournament, but why are they underdogs?
Coming out, Tana B. In. You're listening to Brandon Molesky on The Fan.
Enter to win a party at the Crooked Pint in Minneapolis to watch all the college hoops action this month. KFN.com keyword contest.
Lil B in 15 minutes. Meat Sauce will join with Lil B at 1:35 and then stay until 3 o'clock. Brandon Molesky in for the Common Man Dan Cole. Joe Parovich with me. And now,
time now for five questions. Well, actually three, but five sounds like more than four. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number one. At the state of the state of hockey.
All right, let's start with one of the biggest games of the night. Following Monday's 3-0 loss to San Jose, the Wild lost its grip on a playoff spot, sitting 1 point behind Arizona and three behind Dallas in the wildcard standings. Minnesota hosts Dallas tonight at 7 p.m. in an arena where the Wild are 1-5-3, and in their past nine, and they haven't won there since in regulation since January 19th.
Yeah.
So if you had to call upon one player for any reason at all to step up tonight for the Wild, who would that player be?
Wow. Well, if you're just going to do one, you're always going to take the goalie. This team goes as well as the goaltender goes. Defensively, for the most part, especially, I mean, their top three defensemen, Suter, Spurgeon, and Brodin, are having great years. I mean, specifically Spurgeon and Brodin are playing phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's almost unfortunate that the team is ruining the effort they're getting out of their defensemen, because it's been pretty darn good. From a forward standpoint, man, they start getting injuries. Cunningham's supposed to be back tonight, but Erickson Ek is going to be out. And I know Bruce Boudreau said he hopes it's not more than a week. But when you say that, that means, well, guess what? He ain't playing tonight. Yeah. He ain't playing, probably not playing the next couple games.
1 to 2.
You're hoping, you know, it's probably going to be a 2 to 3 game miss. And they are so thin at the forward position that even an Erickson Ek injury kills this team. Because now Rask is going to get a decent amount of minutes at the center position. Aberg is getting too many minutes. You got two guys in your top nine that, man, you know, and then, you know, Boudreau kind of has to spread them out, right? So now you kind of have one bad guy on two of your top three lines. You can't really put them together because that line will get exposed. So just up front, that's why, like, a Jason Zucker and Eric Staal, really, for this team to go offensively. Parisi's always going to be there. I like Donato. I like Fiala. But to me, Zucker and Staal are the two that are inconsistent, but they're both streaky. If all of a sudden they can kind of go on a streak, and Zucker has been better over the last 9 games or so, with 6 goals during that stretch. But those two, ultimately, that's still got to be your number one line. Zucker's got to play with speed. When he does and has a shot-first mentality, usually he can be successful. So if you want to point out a guy, that's what I would point out. Devin Dubnyk will get the start tonight. And I did see a note that it does look like Nick Seeler is going to play tonight, forcing Beteto to be the healthy scratch. And that's kind of been one of the most befuddling things I've seen over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, Russo was saying today you have to stop playing Beteto.
Well, and Russo mentioned something that I believed to be true, but when he says it now, I know it to be true. Because it just seemed odd to me that Beteto kept playing and kept making mistakes and making bad mistakes that were pucks were going in your net and killing your team. And yet he kept playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Seeler hasn't been as good this year as he was last year during the second half of the season, but I don't think Seeler was that bad where he needs to be on the bench. Or at the very least, after Beteto has 2 straight games where he's given up a bad goal, you got to put Seeler in.
Yeah.
And they weren't doing it. And Russo made the mention today, and this makes more sense to me, that, well, the GM is basically ordering the head coach, Beteto's got to play. Yeah. I don't know why. I know Beteto's his guy, and Seeler wasn't his guy. You know, he inherited Seeler. But there's 12 games left. You got to give yourselves the best chance to win. And not saying Seeler's been brilliant this year, but you've seen enough of Beteto where after a couple bad games, put him in the press box for a game, give Seeler a chance. And then if Seeler plays bad, then give Beteto another chance. But it made no sense that they've been keeping Seeler out of the lineup. But it does look at least tonight that Seeler will be back in the lineup. And one other thing. I feel like whenever the Wild play the Dallas Stars, if the thing gets to overtime, we lose. Do not get the 3-on-3 overtime against Ben, Sagan, and Klingberg. Those three kill us every single time. Got to win this thing in regulation tonight.
Okay.
Question number 2.
Yesterday morning, the Saints...
Oh, hold on.
Oh,
let the open go.
My bad. In-depth look at the state of the skull.
Okay. Yesterday morning...
We use that to kill time, Joe.
I agree.
You got to learn this here. Noon to 3 is different than the other shows you produce.
I see. Okay, so yesterday morning, the Saints signed Vikings free agent running back Latavius Murray to a 4-year, $14.4 million deal. That leaves the Vikings with Rock Thomas, who's facing legal trouble and certainly not guaranteed back, and Mike Boone, who many might see as a number 3 option at running back going into next season rather than the foregone number 2. So do you prefer the Vikings to find Delvin Cook's backup amongst some of the best running backs left in the market, whether that's Spencer Ware, TJ Yeldon, CJ Anderson, Jay Ajayi, Isaiah Crowell, or would you like Minnesota to find Cook's backup with one of the middle round draft picks?
One, those free agency names, well, you know,
too expensive, maybe.
A couple of them would be decent backups, but the Vikings don't have enough money to spend a significant amount.
They have 2.3 right now.
On a backup running back. Yeah. So you basically got to go the cheap route. I don't know if Amir Abdullah is still on the roster or not. I think he's more of a kind of a third string, you know, third down guy who can also do some special teams for you. But, the two guys you mentioned, Mike Boone and Rock Thomas, I still really don't know what we have in those two. we never really saw them a whole lot during the regular season. So, sure, they both look competent in the preseason, but that's just different. You're going out against second and third teamers. You're playing with second and third teamers. It's just different blocking. It's different speed, different physicality. You know, so I hear lots of people talk all the time about, oh, those guys could be backup running backs. I don't know. I haven't seen them play at the NFL level. So, to me, running back is a position you can find third round, fourth round, fifth round, and still get guys that can be stars in this league. I'd go that route. You know, we are in a situation now, though, where you don't have that insurance plan that we've had for Dalvin Cook in the past. 2 years ago, you had McKinnon and Latavius. Last year, you had Latavius, who was a pretty consistent player who stayed healthy basically the whole time. Dalvin Cook has yet to been able to stay on the field for 16 games in a season. And our insurance policy might be gone. So, you can always find the Ameer Abdullah types off the street. And you can find running backs off the street that can actually come in and produce for you, because it is ultimately going to be more on your offensive system and your offensive line. But to me, with the little amount of money you have, there are so many other pressing needs than backup running back that you can't spend on a backup running back. You use a draft pick on it and use whatever money you have left on the positions of need. And you got to pray Dalvin Cook stays healthy this year.
Question number three. It's time now for the lowdown in Dinky Town.
The Golden Gophers men's basketball team faces off against Penn State tonight in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. The Nittany Lions, a team that is 7-3 in the Big Ten after starting 0-10 in the Big Ten, they're 2.5-point favorites against the Gophers.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Minnesota's safely in the tournament as it stands today. Lunardi has them penciled in as a number 10 seed, facing number 7 Louisville.
I don't know if that's safely.
Well, there's a lot of both teams that have been losing.
Because even Lunardi was predicting that if they were to lose to Penn State, that they'd be one of those 12-seed play-in games. That ain't safe anymore.
That's not safe. No. But a number 10, and then in the CBS one, they're a number 9. So, I mean,
I'm just saying, if they lose to Penn State, do they still probably have a better chance than not of being in? Yes. Would I call it safe?
No.
No, I would not.
So you would say, the question was, would you say that they're playing for higher seeding or playing for their survival in the tournament? You would say that they're playing for the survival.
Well, more so for the survival. And frankly, I don't even really care if they get a higher seed, because it's worse to be an 8-9 seed than it is to be a 10 seed. The 8-9 seed is going to get to the Sweet 16 far less often than a 7-10 seed's going to.
I see what you're saying.
Basically, your first-round opponent, when it comes to 8-9 and 7-10, that really doesn't change much.
Yeah.
But the 1 seed's never losing the first game.
Yeah.
So you're guaranteed, the 2, there is occasionally a 2 will lose to a 15, so you have a shot at a 15 seed advancing. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you're just not facing as elite of a team in a 2 seed and a 1 seed. So you have a better shot of getting to the Sweet 16 by staying in the 10 spot. So beat Penn State, then lose, and you'll get your 10 seed. But I still think, as a Gopher fan, you got to cheer for a win tonight, because, like I said, now you're leaving it up to the committee, and you're making it dicey. And for all I know, I don't know how many
quad ones.
Well, that's another thing I want to talk about. I don't understand this whole quad one, quad two net rating, right? Because here's what I'm reading. I'm reading that. People were saying the Penn State matchup's a great matchup for the Gophers, so one, you don't have to face, I think it was Indiana.
Yeah.
So they think, one, it's an easier matchup. Two, Penn State is technically a quad one team, so it looks better either win or lose. If you win, it looks great for your resume that you beat a quad one team. And even if you lose, it's not as bad of a hit because you were facing a quad one team.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point of, if the committee values quad one so much, then why are the Gophers in ahead of Penn State? Because the Penn State is technically a quad one team right now, and we're a quad two team. So if they value quad one, quad two, all that stuff so much, then how are we in ahead of them?
I will say we have better non-conference victories. Well, we beat Washington. They beat, there's a couple
well,
other.
We're not quad one.
But they've also.
Our net rating is not as good, and that's what the committee values, apparently.
That's true. And RPI was replaced by net rating in the quad one stuff. So that used to be RPI, which everyone had a problem with RPI, and that's why that was replaced.
Penn State has a better net rating, don't they?
I believe,
that's why they're quad one.
Right, but the quad one, like the Gophers actually have more quad one wins than the other bubble teams. A lot of teams are like 2-8, and the Gophers are like 3-8, I believe.
I'm just so saying, that helps. And they really care about quad one that, victories.
I'm just saying that's
backwards. I get what you're saying.
That's
though.
Backwards.
Yeah. If Penn State's a quad
that's
one.
That's backwards. If they're a quad one team,
yeah.
then they should be ahead of us. So if they value the quad one stuff yeah. so much, then they should be ahead of us when it comes to being in the tournament.
We have like that's one more win
it's
in the Big
backwards.
Ten. That's it.
It's backwards.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying.
That game can't be on KFAN tonight because the Wild play, so they must be on
K-Talk?
Must be on News Talk AM 1130 yeah. is what I'm going to go with tonight if you want to hear that game. You have one final quick question?
Yes.
Question number three.
All right, the Timberwolves are in Utah tonight to play in front of some of the most logical and level-headed Jazz fans. questionable are Rose with an elbow, Teague with a foot, Wiggins with a left quad contusion. The Jazz are tied for the number 8 spot right now at 38-29, and the Wolves are 6.5 back. Doesn't matter. We're playing for a draft pick. How much are you going to be checking into tonight's game, if at all?
Not at all. One, the Wolves are out of it.
Yeah.
Two, they're always awful on the road.
Yes.
Three, as you just mentioned, Wiggins, Rose, Teague, all questionable. Yeah. They've basically all been questionable every single game,
yeah.
which means I guarantee two of those three will not play tonight, just based yeah. on track record. So they got no shot tonight. What I did find interesting was a note in the Star Tribune today that ESPN has these future power rankings, and they did the NBA, mm-hmm. in which it evaluates franchises in a number of categories to determine their prospects over the next 3 years. The Wolves, out of 30 NBA teams in the future power rankings, number 22.
Oh,
3 years God. Ago when they hired Tom Thibodeau, they were number 5.
Yeah.
Just think of how badly that has changed in 3 yeah. years. That's just sad and depressing.
I remember the NBA GM survey they used to pick Karl Towns as the player they would start yeah. a franchise with, and then this year, starting at the start of this year, he wasn't even on like any
just
of their picks.
Depressing.
Yeah.
And
he would be on the list though coming up.
What's even more interesting is basically the Wolves basically have the same record as the Wild right now. And I think everyone looks at the Wild as just being like, or Wolves as a train wreck. And
yeah.
the Wild, to a certain extent, I think they view them that way. But Wild's still playing for a playoff spot. Wolves don't have a chance. If the Wolves were in the East, they'd be in the playoff mix.
For sure.
They'd be yeah. half game out of it. And they'd probably be higher than that because they would have more guys playing through injury if they were actually good fighting attention. For a real playoff spot. All right, that's it.
That's it.
And that's it for today's edition of 5 Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Well, actually, 3 questions, but 5 sounds like more than 4.
Lil B is next, and I want to talk about a very embarrassing moment that happened to me about a week ago.
It's the Green Giant, Brandon Molesky, filling in for Common on the...
Download it now.
Want a chance at $100,000? Join us at the Twin Cities Auto Show today starting at 4 p.m. and try to crack the code on the KFAN safe. The 5-digit code you could enter in will could win you $100,000, but your only shot to open the safe happens today. All driven by your greater Twin Cities Honda dealer. More info at KFAN.com, keyword auto show. This segment brought to you by Green Mill.
Yeah, baby. Smoke show from Glencoe, Lil B, in on a Thursday, because both Common and I are off tomorrow. I appreciate you being flexible and changing your day for us.
No problem. Anything for you.
Because I love when you're in.
Huh?
You got a bunch of promotional stuff going on,
yes.
right? You've been hanging out at the auto show.
Got to go to the auto show.
Can people win $100,000? Is that thing
tonight.
Still going on? Tonight?
Only tonight.
So they got to show up tonight, and what happens?
So from 4 to 10 tonight, we call it crack the code in the business.
Yeah.
It's a name I came up with.
That's brilliant.
But basically, I've got a safe sitting down there with $100,000. And you go down.
You didn't like take this money out ahead of time? And
don't worry about where I got
okay.
the money from.
Okay, yeah. Where'd you get the money from?
Not your business. So you go down there. You punch in a 5-digit code, and if it opens the safe, it's $100,000 for you.
You just pick whatever code you want?
Yep, whatever you want. It's all by chance. You walk up, it's 5 digits, and I'm told
what's your birthday?
I do not pick.
Did you pick the code?
No. Nope. So it is in a sealed envelope.
So somebody has to know the code,
somebody
right?
knows it.
How do they make sure that information doesn't get out ahead of time?
There is an envelope that is sealed.
Okay.
And if somebody wins it, you are not eligible.
I can't
don't
do it.
Don't even ask me.
Dang it. I could use $100,000.
You and I both.
Yeah.
But then I send sealed envelope back to Guy so he can verify I didn't tell, you know, your brothers, sure, sisters, whoever, that what it was. But I'm told that if you get it right, like alarms will start going off,
door
pops open. We're live streaming the bit on all of our stations so you can watch it anytime. Watch people walk up, punch their code in.
I'm unavailable tonight, but I would have loved to have been. I would have just liked to watch the live stream.
So I'm going to go down there for a little while.
What time will that be?
That starts at 4.
Where's the name of the place again?
That is the Twin Cities Auto Show at the Minneapolis Convention Center.
Have you got the website and the phone number just in case somebody might ask me? I always like to be prepared.
No problem. Any of our station sites, but you can go to KFAN.com for more info.
Then what?
Then you meet me down there tonight and you punch in your 5-digit code.
Incredible.
That's what I thought.
Incredible.
$100,000.
How do you pick the code? What if you find out you're like one code off? Or what if someone is in their car right now and they're thinking of what 5-digit code they would do? Mm-hmm. Then I just couldn't make it or had something else going on, and you find out that 5-digit code was the one.
Sorry for you.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So is that going to be like at the iHeart
Media
at our
iHeart space? Yes.
Sponsored by Honda or something?
Yep,
What's going on?
Yep. Okay. All driven by them. But I mean, you'll be able to tell it's us. I mean, we've got our banners and everything everywhere, but you come in and it's just a safe that my beautiful face will be standing next to. Hello.
Well, that alone is worth the trip. Just getting a chance to meet the smoke show from Glencoe. And then if you win some $100,000 on the side, that's just consolation prize. Uh-huh. That's consolation.
Pretty much.
And then I don't know if we're allowed to even reveal any information on this yet. What? My source is telling me a Rube Party coming back. Can we talk about that or not?
Not yet.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm working.
Did I blow that?
No, it's fine. I just want to make sure that everything gets worked out so it's the best that it should be.
Well, if you're running it, it's going to be the best.
Well, and that's why I want it right. When it gets announced, I want it announced right. I want to have all the bells and whistles ready to go.
Okay. So I'm sorry.
Don't you worry your pretty little head. I'll worry about it.
Okay. Do you have anything?
No.
You got nothing? Okay. A week ago today.
Yeah.
I did something for the first time in my life that was very embarrassing.
What'd you do?
I was at the River Center.
Okay.
I was there for the Let's Play Hockey Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Tarp Shooter.
Oh, you have, what is that? Are you?
Tarp Shooter.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's awesome. Tarpshooter.com for more information. But we had to set up a big, you know, basically Thursday I was down there just setting everything up.
Yeah.
We had to set up like a little hockey shooting area so you could shoot on it, blah, 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 blah. So it took multiple people and a couple hours down there. I, you know, hands get a little dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So before I leave, I decide, well, I got to go to the restroom before I head out.
Mm-hmm.
I walk into the bathroom and there are no urinals in there.
Oh, God.
And I thought,
oh, my God.
This is odd. No urinals. But thought, well, maybe it's just one of those. Maybe it's the new kind of bathrooms that don't have urinals.
So I go into one of the stalls. No.
Yeah. Fortunately, I just had to go number one, not number two.
Thanks for the update.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so then I go to wash my hands.
I had
been in the bathroom earlier in the men's bathroom earlier in the day, and I washed my hands. And I remember when I washed my hands that the sink on the far left, which is where I was washing my hands, did not have a soap dispenser.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And for some reason, that stuck with me because I had to use the sink next to it.
Yep.
So then when I leave the stall now, the second time, in the women's bathroom, I recognize, because I thought it was odd it didn't have urinals, and then I see, wait, there's now a soap dispenser on this sink. I'm not in the right room.
No.
But I have to wash my hands quick.
That is really embarrassing.
Did
anybody walk in?
And you guys had an extra paper towel dispenser in there that we don't have on the men's side. I was a little bitter about that. So thankfully, you know, one, there wasn't a lot of people there to begin with. Mm-hmm.
It was setup time.
Let's face it, it's hockey. It's mostly men there. There weren't a lot of women there. So at no point was there a female in the bathroom while the time I was in there.
Mm-hmm.
When I did walk out, I did see someone coming out of the men's bathroom at about the same time. And it's a fellow media member that I recognized. I don't know if he fully...
Did you get the double take?
I just looked at him and immediately looked away and never looked back.
Oh, my God.
And I've never done that in my life where I've walked in the women's bathroom.
I've done it.
Walked in the men's?
Yep.
I've done it too.
Accidentally or intentionally?
Because
your lines are too long. Because I've seen women do that at like clubs and bars.
I've never done that. the bar thing where the line has been ridiculous. Like, and I've had friends that I just could never bring myself to do it. I've walked into the men's locker room at the gym before, because at the gym I go to, it's in multiple locations. Yep. And in one location, it's the second bathroom, and another location, it's the first one. And you get so used to going into the same door.
Yep.
So when I went to a different gym, I just walked in that one. Hey,
and
dudes.
You saw some guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet they wouldn't be as freaked out as a guy walking into a girl's.
Yeah, correct.
Like, if you saw me walking to the bathroom, you'd be, like, screaming.
Yeah.
And calling the police.
Correct.
Calling security.
Yep. I gave him a wave, and then I left.
Hey, guys. Big gulps, huh, guys? All right. We'll see you later. So you saw Reddit. And Joe, you've walked in the ladies' room before?
Well, the Lifetime Fitness thing that you're talking about, like, I don't know if that's the gym
label
she goes
to. Lifetime, apparently.
It wasn't Lifetime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, when you're a member of Gold or Onyx or whatever.
Oh, good for you.
Break.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
Gold is the
lowest. When you're VIP, gold is the
lowest. Gold is the lowest. So when you get like four, in, like you said,
they
they're
have
on
levels
opposites.
Of memberships there?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Lake one time made fun of me because I didn't have an Onyx.
Oh, you know he's like the highest level.
Yeah.
You can tell that to me, dude. I don't go to Lifetime.
You used to go to the
so
one
you
over
walked
here,
in,
you
were there. Were there women in there when you walked in?
Well, no. So I just started to walk into
you
one
figured it
because
out quickly.
There was a long hallway, and then to the right would have been like then you would be able
you
to
didn't
see
complete
things.
The process.
No,
like I know
you could just tell right away that something is different.
Yeah,
it's not
the
right.
Image was reversed.
See,
you know,
but the one at the River Center, like the setup of the bathrooms were the exact same in terms of sinks on the left. You know, it wasn't like they were completely opposite from each other. So that's why I just and the first time I went in there on the men's side, I didn't go to the bathroom. I just washed my hands, so I never really. When I saw
you didn't get a
time,
lay of the land?
No, I didn't. Yeah. And
you are really lucky you didn't run into somebody.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, that would be like.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
That's mortifying.
It's embarrassing. And then it's like a crime. Like if a guy just went in and like hung out in a girl's bathroom, I should say women's bathroom.
I don't know. Yes. If
well, I mean, how do you get punished for it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
You can tweet us. Let us
so
know.
So hopefully I didn't like commit a felony.
No,
and
I think
I hope there's not a warrant out for my arrest right now.
Well, I think you're okay.
Okay.
I mean, hopefully it was a quick transaction.
So now you tell me about something embarrassing you've done before to make me
I just
feel
did.
Better.
I walked into the
well that you just said hi and walked right.
Dude's changing.
But
hello.
It's just not embarrassing for you guys though. It's
not?
No, we don't care.
I was embarrassed.
We don't care.
I was embarrassed.
The guys would probably be like, hey.
The problem
how are
too ya? Is that as I was walking in, again, before I even got all the way in the locker room, I was like, something doesn't feel right. And then I kept walking anyway. So I could have stopped, but I could feel that something wasn't right.
And I thought something was off and I kept doing it anyway. And I don't know why.
And it was also after 5. So it was packed.
Yeah.
Because everybody's coming there after work.
You didn't like see the sauna area, did you?
No. But it was like 5:30 at night. Just loaded with dudes.
Loaded with dudes.
Yep.
Sounds like a great place to pick them up.
It wasn't terrible.
Well, that was my embarrassing story.
I feel embarrassed for you. It makes my hands sweat.
Thanks. You don't think differently of me now, do you?
No.
Do you mind if I bring in Meat Sauce next segment and you two can play the initial game against each other?
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
He's good.
You can find a new contestant. Well, he's good.
I am not.
He's good at initials. He's never played the initial game.
Yeah, but I can beat you. I can't beat Meat Sauce.
He's never played the initial game.
Okay.
It's different. It's a different game.
Okay, then we'll
see. It's written differently.
Fine.
Corey Cove ain't doing the clues.
Okay.
You are better than AJ Mansoor, though. So you will give him a lot more competition. Meat Sauce, Lil B, initial game next.
You're listening to Brandon Molesky on The Fan.
Bring the action.
When you have this in the club, you gotta tap, turn it up. You gotta tap, turn it up. You gotta tap, turn it up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club.
Back with Lil B. Grady wants to know via the Bradshaw and Bright inbox which checking account the $100,000 came out of for the auto show. Wah, wah.
I'll tell you which checking account it would be going in if I won it.
I brought in some help for the second segment. I know you don't need someone to help you carry the segment, but I wanted to, you know, I'm in this chair today. Usually I play you in the initial game.
Yep.
But with me over here, I thought since Meat Sauce is going to be here 2 to 3 anyways, might as well bring in the initial game.
Bye.
Initials game champ.
Yes.
To take you on. You're the initial game champ versus the initials game. Do you know what the initial game is, Sauce?
No.
We stole it from a Kansas City radio station.
Okay, yeah. I've never, I don't, yeah. Okay, how do you do it?
Rules of the initial game. I will give a letter, an initial.
Okay, makes sense.
And they're either people, places, or things with one name or commonly known as a single name, sometimes hyphenated.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll give you 6 clues. Just your name is your buzzer.
Okay.
And you'll be going up against Lil B.
So if I know it, I say Paul and then like Dan.
Then Dan?
Like if, just if, the one
if,
word.
If oh,
if it's
sure.
D, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were 5:39 and the initial was D, I would say something else. But since it's the afternoon, I won't.
It's Dan.
Say, yeah, it's Dan. Yeah.
I like Dan.
Thank you. So does Hawk's sister.
Okay.
Are you ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
You should listen to this music we got for this.
Give it open?
Yeah, we got a bit.
Oh, my God. Do we go around the room and do sponsors?
If Sauce, you win the initial game. Yeah. What happens this weekend?
You can go to, well, I mean, I don't know. I wish I had a sponsor for this. It'd be great.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well.
They're both sponsored by TarpShooter.com.
Okay.
Or if Sauce wins, you can go maybe see you in comedy somewhere with the comedy man, Dan Cole.
Yeah, next, a week from this Saturday, we're at the New Hope Cinema Grill, newhopecinemagrill.com. You can get your tickets. 2 shows, 7 and 9:30.
What time will that be?
It'd be 7 and 9:30.
Where's the name of the place again?
New Hope Cinema Grill.
You have a website and a phone number? Yeah. I always like to make sure.
NewHopeCinemaGrill.com.
What's the price on those tickets?
I think $15 or $20.
How come you guys haven't been raising prices? Because it sounds like you're selling out everywhere you go. I think you'd pop up the price a little bit.
Yeah, and we're just in it for...
For the people.
I'm in it for the joy of comedy. And obviously, I love talking to drunk people, so that's why I'm in it.
All right, you guys ready for the initial game?
Always. Duh.
The initial today is like A.
Music. A.
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 I write it down.
Clue number 1.
The youngest of King Triton and Queen Athena's 7 daughters. Wow.
Ariel.
That's right.
Wow.
Oh
my God.
Got it. Yeah, well played. Yep, get it. Just like in the one we
That's
played.
Amazing.
I'm not any good at it.
That's amazing. By the way, now with me instead of Common, I will actually keep score.
Oh, thank you.
And I can hit the buttons myself as opposed to having...
Common doesn't pay attention?
No, he never knows what the score is. And as I'm playing, I have to hit all the buttons for him. He can't hit the question 1, question 2.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's not that tough.
Right.
No. All right. Lil B is up 1-0.
Thank you.
Question number 2.
Is it still A?
Number 1.
Still A.
Okay.
They're all A.
Okay.
Yeah. Born in... Oh, let me get the answer first. Okay, got it. Born in Louisville, Kentucky, his father painted billboards and signs, and his mother was a domestic helper.
Clue number 2.
The heavy half of Laurel and Hardy, the comedy double act that lasted from 1927 to 1955.
Clue number 3.
Began his path to becoming the greatest on the...
Ali.
That's right.
That is correct. By the way, the comedy was Stan and Ollie, O-L-L-I-E.
Oh, geez.
So that would have worked as well.
Genius.
Ollie and Ollie.
Okay.
Meat Sauce is on the board. We're 1-1 going into question number 3.
Clue number 1.
Grew up in Ottawa, where his father was an influential civil engineer and government advisor, and his mother was a secretary of French-Canadian descent.
Clue number 2.
You can tell our clues are a little bit more sophisticated than the morning show.
Yeah, at least you're nice.
studied criminology and sociology at university, but dropped out to work as a comedian in the Second City comedy troupe and later in Saturday Night Live.
Clue number 3.
Played harmonica on some great songs with Aretha Franklin and Cab Calloway as one of the Blues Brothers. You guys are kidding me right now.
Clue number 4.
Co-hosted the Weekend Update segment for 1 season with Jane Curtin, known particularly for their point-counterpoint debates, enlivened with vicious personal insults, including his catchphrase, "Jane, you ignorant slut."
Oh, my God.
I know his name, too.
Lil B.
Yeah. Yes.
Aykroyd.
That's right.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. I can't believe you didn't get that one, Sauce.
See, I thought it 2 clues ago, but I didn't know if we were going last name.
And I didn't know.
It threw me.
Right, same thing. I'm like...
Have you guys ever been to the Second City in Chicago?
No.
Oh, such a good time.
What is it?
the Second City. It's basically improvisational comedy.
It's really like
and basically everyone, a good portion of Saturday Night Live cast members start there.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like they graduate onto SNL.
Okay.
You would love it. Next time you're in Chicago, you have to go. All right, question number four, meat sauce is up 2-1.
No, Bart's up 2-1.
Lil B's up 2-1.
I wrote the wrong... I just pulled a comma.
Here's the deal.
I just pulled a comma.
Get it together.
I wrote an M down instead of a B. All right, 2-1, Little B.
Clue number one.
Born in Manhattan to Dominican parents, he has two half-brothers and a half-sister.
Clue number two.
In high school, was Gatorade's National Baseball Student Athlete of the Year.
Paul?
Yeah.
A-Rod?
That's right.
Isn't he cheating on J-Lo?
Is he cheating on her?
That's like the Jose
That story didn't get blown up as much as I thought it would.
The thing with Jose Canseco is the guy also, like, 2 weeks ago came out and said that he'll take you on, like, an alien and Bigfoot. Yeah. So when he comes out and he's like, that guy's cheating, and you're like, come on. You think we can find Bigfoot?
He took a baseball to the head that led to a home run at one point in his career. Yeah. I think he's
whacked.
He's got something rattling around.
Yeah.
I did just on social media the other day. Who was the Latin singer J-Lo was either dating or married to for a while?
Oh, Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony?
Yeah.
I saw a throwback picture of J-Lo and Mark Anthony at a Yankees game, and they took a picture with A-Rod between them.
No.
So A-Rod's got his arm around J-Lo, and Mark Anthony was on the other side.
Oh, no.
All right, 2-2. We have two more questions left, but we do have a tiebreaker if we're still 3-3.
Clue number one.
The Saturn rocket was developed to support this NASA program for human exploration of the moon. These are really easy today. Okay. I feel like they're much more difficult when you and I play.
Yes, they are.
Clue number two.
Born out of wedlock on the seventh day of the month under a full moon, he killed the dragon to protect his mother.
I'm just going to go for it, Lil B.
Yeah.
Apollo?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that was like a person. I thought it was a movie with Tom Hanks.
It is. Great film.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's
about landing on the moon, which they just talked about.
The greatest line in that movie is when the little girl's crying and Tom Hanks' mother looks at him and says, what are you crying about? He says, worried about my dad. And the mother looks at him and goes, if you could get a washing machine to fly, my son could land it. That's a great scene.
It's a great one.
Great,
Apollo 13. Yeah, it's a heaver.
Yeah, it is a
good heave.
Yeah.
Your movie line acting bit the other day was really good.
Thank you. I screwed that up. And, I didn't know they wanted... I don't know. Yeah, thank you.
My favorite is during your acting that you take no spaces in between your sentences.
No,
you just, one sentence rolls into the next one.
That's how I write.
All right, we're on the last question. Lil B is up 3-2. This could be an upset in the making, even though you are the champion at the initial game. The final question.
Clue number one.
Let me get the answer first. There we go. Was known as the greatest warrior in the Trojan War, played by Brad Pitt.
Clue number two.
Rupture affected Elgin Baylor.
Ball.
Yes.
Achilles.
That's right.
Wow. 3-3 with the tiebreaker.
That's Troy's real first name? Achilles Troy? Or is it Troy Achilles?
When did we say Troy?
Isn't that the name of the movie with Brad Pitt?
With the Brad
Troy?
Pitt movie, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh. There's a workout video of him getting ready for that movie. You should give it a whirl.
Least of midnight or what?
You should give it a whirl.
Got me motivated.
You should give it a whirl.
Get some Home Alone.
All right, we're tied at 3. You guys ready for the tiebreaker question?
Yes.
Clue number one.
Famous for surfing, sharks, tennis players, and marsupials.
Paul.
Yes, for the win.
Agassi? No, damn it.
Agassi is famous for surfing, sharks, and marsupials.
Famous for tennis.
All right, well, Lil B, you have four.
Yep, give me the clues.
You have four clues to win this, and I think these questions have been a lot easier than we've had in the past, so I think you could get this.
Okay.
Clue number two.
Discovered for Dutch explorers in 1606, who named it New Holland?
Clue number three.
The oldest, flattest, and driest inhabited continent with the least fertile soils.
Lil B?
You're not going to wait it out? Wow, that might have been a mistake.
Maybe I should.
Go ahead.
Is it too late? Do I have to say it?
No, you said your name. Except for we don't have another tiebreaker, so I need you to win this.
Antarctica? What is
You blew it!
Thank
it's
you.
It's Australia.
You blew it!
It's Australia. I thought you were going to say Africa. There's lots of A continents.
You blew it!
So, is it just a tie?
You blew it!
I only have one tiebreaker.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Good game.
Still,
good game.
That's good game. Upset in the making there. A couple minutes before we move on to meat sauce full time for the next hour. Oh, boy. I do this over or under game, and I had a couple female related clues that we didn't get to today.
Okay.
I would like you to give me what you think your answers are. Meat sauce, please join in.
Absolutely.
What is the average number of words a woman says per day?
Oh, my God. You guys are Richards.
What is the average number of.
Eight?
Oh, hold on. I was on your power trip page, so I need to get to the rim shot. Hold on.
Genius.
Thank you.
That's a good line.
Okay.
The women are always talking with you around the office. I don't know what you're talking about.
5,000.
Average number of words a woman says per day.
Yeah, that's a 5, good
000.
Guess. 5,000.
Would you take the over or the under there?
I'd take the over.
Over is correct. 7,000.
Jeez,
that's
Becky.
One word every 9 seconds.
We have a lot to say.
And then when you think about it, you're sleeping for about a third of the day. So that, what is that, one word every 6 seconds
well,
now?
I can nag in my sleep.
One word
I'll
every
tell
six
you.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Why do you guys want to talk so much?
Talking's fun.
I enjoy not talking. I enjoy silence.
I would like
especially
to
now that I have children.
Not talk more. But
if you like to talk.
Well, I do like to talk.
Yep. Sauce likes to talk.
Yeah.
Also true.
Yeah.
One, I have a lot to say. But two, we're nagging all the time.
Talking's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to hear my own voice.
Speaking of nagging, would you like the next question?
Oh, no. I would.
I'm going to do both sides of this.
Okay.
I feel bad asking this question.
Just
Sauce.
Do it.
No, he's not going to like me for asking this question.
I don't care. I mean, you hear what the
it might bring up a sore spot here.
Well, there's plenty of them, but go ahead. Hockey sister has a lot of sore spots.
Okay.
What percent of American men would marry the same woman again?
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that, no.
What percent of American men would marry the same woman again?
20.
20?
I bet it's higher. 99? No, I'm going to say it's over 20.
Okay, what number would you throw out?
35.
Okay, now before I give you that answer, I'm going to ask you the opposite.
Yeah.
What percent of American women would marry the same man again?
35.
Yeah, as Corey says, it can't be zero, so... Two?
Most women listening are going... No chance I would marry that
right,
dude again.
Right, of course, yeah.
Yeah, because they're more miserable than we are.
Most of the time, it's his fault.
Can we just get the answer, please?
Yeah, let's get the answer.
Well, I was surprised at your line of thinking, because
really?
You are backwards on this.
Really?
Yes. The percent of American men that would marry the same woman again, 80%.
Wow.
4 out of 5 guys listening right now would say, yep, I'd marry the same woman.
You guys are not smart.
Off. Yeah.
Now, 75% of them are cheating on him, but...
Yeah.
Well,
this is awkward.
Can you get to the next answer, please?
Yeah, what was the other one?
Yeah, what's the reverse?
For women,
okay,
50% would marry the same man again.
Wow.
Thanks, ladies.
Yeah, that's interesting, though.
Which is true, because I would marry my wife again. I guarantee you she'd go a different direction.
But here's what I would ask is I would want to know what happened the first time to make you break up, because if that would factor into it.
Well, no,
if it was just a...
I think you're reading it wrong. I think you're thinking of as if you broke up, would you marry them again? Is that what you're thinking?
No.
I'm just saying, in
general... The reason you got divorced the first time, if it was just we got married in our really early 20s, yeah. We kind of grew apart, whatever. But if something more catastrophic happened...
Right,
like there's certain things that sometimes people just can't get over.
Yeah, but
so I think it depends.
Let bygones be bygones.
Well, there's that.
Bygones.
I'm just saying.
You only ever heard the word bygones in that phrase.
Yeah, I don't.
I never hear it in any other.
I don't know what bygones are.
Yeah.
So, women are more forgiving than men.
I don't think it's a forgiveness thing. I think here's the question, well, right? No, here you're married, right? Yeah. Let's say they gave you a clean slate.
Yeah.
You can have any guy on the planet to marry. Would you go for the same guy again? I think that's what they're getting at. And they're saying 50% of the women would say, yes, you'd go back to Zach.
Well, yes, if you word it that way, if it's just
well,
a clean...
Yes, I think that's how...
I don't think that's how they're wording it.
No, I don't think that's
I
how
don't agree
How do you think
that.
They're wording it?
They're wording it that if you get divorced, would
yes.
you go
no,
back
not,
to
you, yes.
No, no, no chance it would be 80% for guys.
Yeah,
yes,
you'd be surprised.
It would.
No.
People are dumb.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
I'm just saying. You mean there? I know there's a couple of people that I know.
No, I'm not surprised that guys would want to go back to their wives. I'm saying 80% would be very high after getting a divorce.
I think
that's a high number.
I think you're not reading.
We're interpreting
right.
the question differently.
Yes, yeah,
which is fine.
And my way is correct.
And I'm probably right because I have more words to say than you.
Okay, Corey.
Yeah. And Barb's right. Yeah,
thanks, Corey Cove.
Right.
So I'm outnumbered. Joe, can you jump on my side here?
No.
I actually am on your side. Yeah.
You know
thank
what?
You. It seems like if you just did it all over again. No.
That's yeah. I think that's the point of the question.
Yeah.
But why would you not be together?
And then that
wouldn't be it. The first part wouldn't be a thing then.
That would be the question.
Yes.
If you could start all over again, how many men would marry the same woman? That would be the question. That's not the question.
That's not the question.
If you would divorcees go back and marry the same person? That's the question.
Yes.
No, it doesn't say divorcees in it.
I don't think it
said divorce.
If it said divorce in it, no. It just said what percent of American men would marry the same woman again? It's not saying if they got divorced, what percent of divorced men.
Oh.
It's just saying what percent of men. So my interpretation of that is.
I just assume everything.
No, still interpret it my way.
Hey,
no,
yeah, I'm
listen.
Right, because I've been married 8 years now. So the point is they're going looking at you. If you can go back and do it all over again, would you marry the same woman?
Do you know that you just
That's
said that?
How.
It brings up something to me. And tell me if you guys agree with me on this.
Yeah,
this morning,
I agree with you.
My anniversary is coming up. And today I asked my husband, has it been this many years? And he was like, nope. And then he said, do you know what a double standard that is? If this conversation were reversed and I didn't know how long we'd been married, you would you'd murder me. Agree with that?
I've gotten to the point where it's not natural to me and I have to do the math.
Yes.
Have it in your calendar?
I have it that it shows up, but I don't have the number.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. So if you told me, hey, how long have you been married? I wouldn't know it off the top of my head. I'd have to go. Well, we got married in 2011. It's now 2019. It's so 8 years.
Right. That's how I could remember what year we got married.
Yeah.
But you had just fired up. I've been married 8 years. So I was thinking, do men know that easier than women do? But women probably keep track of that more than you guys do, right?
Well, that's why 80% of us would marry you again.
All right.
Don't we work with somebody whose wife forgot their birthday? I think we do.
Who was that?
I'm not saying it. I'll tell you off the air.
That's not fun.
All right. Well, you're on with me for the next hour. We got to go to break.
Yeah.
We're way late.
All right.
Thank you, Lil B. We'll see you next week. All right. She's Lil B. Meat Sauce with me for the next hour. And Sauce, I saw a story about 11 things that the USA Today would change in sports. And I want to get your reaction to that next.
It's the interim producer filling in as the interim host. You're listening to Brandon Molesky on The Fan. The Fan.
Head on out to the Mystic Lake Casino on Thursday, March 21st for a 9-to-noon broadcast and a College Hoops envelope draw party. To help kick off the tournament, listen to 9-to-noon all week for a shot to win your envelope. Didn't win an envelope on air, you can still win one on site at Mystic Lake. 64 teams will be winning the possible envelope. So awesome prizes on the line, including a 55-inch HDTV to the winner. KFN.com, keyword events.
Joe's one of those guys, Sauce, that means well. And he thinks, oh, we got a guest in. Let's play the guest music.
I was going to play because I thought he was going to win.
Work.
I thought he was going to win.
Not going to work.
Because in the initials game, when you win, you get your music.
No, AJ can't match up with Lil B.
And that's they tied. No, so this is
she's
all
too
wrong.
Good. Yeah. That's more competition you face on Fridays.
At least the game's fun.
Your Majors performance was just epic.
Well, yeah, because no one, thank you, no one cared when he was winning. I mean, more people cheered at the Mariucci hockey game. I mean, that was like, it's like watching a fish tank full of dead fish.
What else is it like?
That's all I can come up with.
You're in for the next hour in studio with me.
Can't wait, man.
If anyone wants to talk with Meat Sauce, you can give us a call at 651-999-5326. Or 1-800-320-5326. You can also email the Brad Sean Bryant inbox booth at KFAN.com because I think we're just going to talk a variety of topics.
Excited.
And what I first want to talk to you about, Sauce, is I saw the USA Today did a story on 11 things that they would change in sports. So I'm going to go through each one.
Sweet.
I want you to tell me whether you'd be for that change or don't care or don't want to change.
Awesome.
Change number one, they would ban tackle football for children under the age of 14.
I'm against that.
You're against that?
Yeah. Tackle football.
You played some football in
your
day.
Yeah. I played from about fourth grade on to my all my high school career.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, football is safer than it's ever been. Yeah, of course. I mean, they have all these coaches. I mean, you hear it on this station, you hear it all over, and you see it, and the NFL does a great job of doing it. Football has never been safer. And the notion...
Doesn't mean it's safe.
No, correct, but, I mean, the notion that football got the rap that that's the only sport you get concussions in. Every sport you get concussions in. Hockey, field hockey, baseball, soccer. I mean,
do you know there's more concussions in girls' hockey than boys' hockey?
I did not know that. You can't hit in girls' hockey.
Yeah. Now,
why is that?
Well, sometimes these numbers are weird because it's possible that girls just report it more. Like, they might be more willing to admit, hey, I've got a concussion. Or admit, you know, I think boys sometimes do the old, I'm going to throw some Robitussin and get back out there, and I'm not going to tell anyone I have a concussion, because if you do that, then you can't play in the game.
Right.
So I think there is that aspect of it. But yes, girls do not have checking, though they play a little more physical than... Well, here's what I'd say about football. Football is the one sport that I think you could not go... You wouldn't have to play as a youngster, and you could just pick it up in high school, and if you're a good enough athlete, you can play. It's not like hockey where there's the art of skating that you need to learn. It's not like basketball where dribbling and shooting, I think, takes X amount of reps. Football's a pretty basic athletic sport that I don't think you need to learn a bunch of technique when you're younger.
It depends on what position you're playing.
How many NFL players were like, how many tight ends have just been basketball players and never played football? And they just,
that's a great point.
Right?
You don't hear a lot of NHL guys that picked it up at their junior year.
You never
hear that. Yeah, you can't. You got to play that at a very
young age. Or baseball doesn't happen.
But I still disagree with it. Yeah, tackle football's fun, man. Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
I would say it's one of those that if they made that change, I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But it's also not one of those where I'm taking my pitchforks out saying, you got to change this.
Yeah.
Right?
I would be totally against it.
Second thing they would change in sports, they would seed playoff teams by record, regardless of conference. So it would leave a possibility for, like, the Yankees to play the Red Sox in the World Series, or the Cowboys and Eagles could meet in the Super Bowl, or the Capitals and Penguins could meet in the Stanley Cup Final.
I like that.
We don't do 1-8 in this conference, 1-8 in this conference, or in football, 1-6, 1-6. All 16 teams in the NBA, we're just going to throw them all into one big tournament, and therefore you could have matchups. I would go back and forth on this because there are some scenarios in which, yes, it's unfair that the two best teams in the league are playing each other early, right? It's happened more in the NHL. The last couple of years, Washington has had to face Pittsburgh, you know, first or second round, just based on you have to go through your division. This year, maybe the three best teams in the Eastern Conference, maybe three of the best teams in the NHL are all in the same division, which means they're going to be on the same side of the bracket. So Boston's going to have to face Toronto, and then the winner has to go through Tampa Bay, and that is unfair. So ultimately, to have the two best teams face each other, I understand doing the seeding thing this way. I will say, though, kind of what I like about having to go through your division and go through your conference is you kind of build up these rivalries over the year, and I think some of that would be missing.
Yeah, I think this one, as you said with the football thing, like if they changed it, I wouldn't be upset about it, and if they didn't change it, I wouldn't really have an opinion on it, but I think it'd be cool if they tried it like for a year or two just to see how it went.
Could you imagine Vikings versus Packers in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Or in an even, you know, in an NFC championship game. I know there wouldn't be such a thing, but if they were in the Final Four and they had to face each other to go, that'd be sweet.
The next change number three, and this is one of those that when I first read it, I was hesitant, and now I think it should happen. In baseball, Major League Baseball, adopt a split season schedule. So basically, you have two seasons, right? You have a 181-game season and then a second 81-game season. So if you win the first half, you're in the playoffs. If you win the second half in your division, you make the playoffs. I'm not sure how the playoffs would work, but I remember John Smoltz talking about it, and he's quoted in the story. He says, I know people roll their eyes at it, but it works in the minor leagues. Teams can now compete in the second half instead of just dumping everybody. How are you going to tell your fan base that you're not going to try in the second half? Who says you can't have a nice second half? You could see teams reconstructed and change philosophically. And what I like about it is, one, the season's way too long in baseball.
100%.
So by the time you get to game 100 and your team...
It starts in 2 weeks.
But I mean, how many times you get to game 100 and your team's out of it, and the last couple months are just painful and they're boring.
Well, in this town, they're out of it in about May.
But how cool would it be that, hey, you didn't have a good first half of the season, but second half of the season, you're still going to try.
Yeah.
So you're not going to trade away all your pieces. if you still think you have a realistic
shot.
That's
a brilliant idea.
In the second half, they should do that.
That's a brilliant idea. I love that idea.
And it makes,
I'm all for it.
And it makes the games mean more.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, those first 81 games, all of a sudden you're 50 games into it. Those games have significance
Absolutely.
And meaning as opposed to just
yeah whatever
just out here getting hot dogs and a brewski.
Well, and also, which would be sweet, but yeah. how
good are dome dogs?
Oh, so good. I wish they still had them. And how about in this town? I mean, once the NFL starts, unless the Twins are relevant, no one cares. I mean, we see crowds at Target Field in September. Yeah. No one's there.
They're just there to experience the stadium,
right, yeah,
and the people watch.
Or because, and it's true, Vikings games are expensive to get into. MLB games in September, you can get cheap tickets, especially in a town where the team isn't any good.
I just think it would be great
to have
your team be awful in the first half of the season and go, hey, we still have something to play for.
I love that idea.
Because especially with these smaller markets, and then they all just sell off to the big knockers anyway.
Lucky.
Change number four, implement a shot clock in golf. They say put a shot clock on the screen of every televised golf tournament. I'd go with 30 seconds, but I'd settle for 40 seconds. Time starts when the player arrives at his or her ball. Each golfer would have a shot clock of their own in their bag so they would be aware of how much time they have. Can you imagine Phil Mickelson is trying to decide which wedge to use, and all of a sudden the clock is ticking down 5, 4, 3.
No, the only person that would affect is like Sergio. Does he still take forever to shoot the ball?
Yeah, or he does the waggle like 30
forever?
Times.
Yeah. No, I don't. No, leave golf alone. Golf is honestly one of the only like pure sports we have left.
Yeah.
There's really no instant replay. There's no time. There's not. Leave golf alone. Plus, I love golf. And I mean, then if you do that, then how many of these Todds that people play with are going to be like, shot clock? What? No. I'm on my seventh Coors Light.
The horn goes off right, yeah, in the middle of your swing.
No, we're not doing that. Shut up, Bill. No. No, I, you have jeans on. Like, we're not having a shot clock.
Yeah. I'm actually with you on this one.
I'm against it.
When I read it, I thought, you know, there are times where golf, they take too long to hit the ball.
Well, of course.
And,
yeah.
they're worried about pace of play because that's what's happening with baseball right now. You're worried about not enough action going on. But to me, I wish they were allowed to, like, mic up every single golfer. Because to me, while they're waiting for their shot, like, I want to hear the golfer and the caddy talking it over. And sometimes now,
yeah,
they,
I like
now,
that.
Now they've had the boom mic over them where sometimes you can hear what they're saying. To me, if you go a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes while you're discussing your shot, but at least I can hear it the whole time, now I'm still engaged in the shot. I want to hear their thought process behind the strategy, whether they disagree with each other. To me, that's the route to go. If you're worried about the dead time, well, just mic them up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also one of those guys that I like to play faster golf. I don't play golf to like hit great shots. I play golf for like the camaraderie and like hanging out, and it's something to do.
You know?
I like that. That's why I play it. I don't like to play with people who are way too competitive when it comes to golf. Because as one of my good friends once told me, none of us are going to play on the PGA Tour. Slow down. That's it's a penalty. What? Who cares? Like we're just here out here to have fun, man. That's the kind of golf I like to play.
I feel like you're taking shots at me in common right now.
No, but with you in common, if you in common are playing serious, I'm not the guy, because I'm not good. I'm not the guy who's lining up my eighth putt. I will pick up
eight putts.
Well, or, you know, like my eighth shot. Like, you know, it's like my third shot in the sand. Just pick it up. If I'm playing with people, like some of the people I play with, and they like to play competitively, I'll just kind of get out of their way.
Sure.
I'll go first. I won't hit it.
You still want to slow them down.
Yeah, that's it. But people who are bad and like to play by the rules, no. That's just pick up the pace.
Change number five. Eliminate all-star games and expand skills competitions. Television ratings for all-star games are down across sports, and the apathy among players is pervasive. So why bother? Why not craft and publicize all-star rosters and still host an all-star weekend, but with expanded skills competitions as the main attraction?
Well, I think you'd have less people caring, don't you think? Like, you're trying to get
I don't care about either.
Yeah, I don't either.
So if you took out the all-star,
I
don't care about
stupid.
The skills competitions either. So
the only one I like, and I always say on the power trip that I'm going to watch it, but the only one I like is the NBA game because it's the greatest athletes in sports playing a pickup game of basketball. I like that. I like that aspect.
I like defense. They don't play defense.
For about a minute. And then yeah. All All-Star games are terrible. The baseball ones,
slam dunks and alley oops don't do anything for
right,
me.
Right. Yeah.
So.
No, I would get
unless they're being defended.
Right. Get rid of all of it. Get rid of all of it. Yeah.
But that
the hockey All-Star game's terrible.
It's better than it used to be.
It used to be, what, like 14 to 15
well, yeah.
or something
they used
like
to play
that.
Zero defense. At least 3-on-3, it forces them to play a little bit of defense, and they're playing for money now. So at least they're now playing at a 90% pace as opposed to a 60% pace.
Sweet.
All right, we still have 6 more of these. And like I said, if you want to join via phone, you can talk to Meat Sauce. We're here for until 3 o'clock today.
It's Tenna B in for Common on the Fan.
Register to win passes to the Twin Cities Auto Show running March 9th through the 17th, so 3 more days left at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Enter now at KFN.com, keyword contest.
Meat Sauce, Paul Lambert with me, Tenna B, in for the Common, Dan Cole, Joe Perovich with me as well. And we are continuing the 11 things we'd change in sports according to the USA Today.
We got a little breaking NFL news.
Breaking NFL news.
The Bears are signing safety HaHa Clint Dix to a one-year deal. Sources tell Rappaport and Garofalo.
Got it. Don't have a price yet on that. But,
not yet, nope.
I think he's a solid player. So
I do, too.
I liked him with Green. I was surprised when Green Bay traded him.
Same.
Not sure how he did with Washington the second half of the season. I don't follow Washington football very much, but I think he's a solid defensive back.
Yeah, I'd take him.
All right, so the Bears defense loading up. We'll see how they do with a new defensive coordinator this year, and I do want to talk a little football with you next segment, but let's get back to the 11 things that we'd change in sports according to the USA Today. I think this is an interesting one. I'd love to hear your opinion on this one. They say expand the size of the NBA court. They say basketball players at all levels, and especially the NBA, have gotten bigger, stronger, faster, taking up more space on the court and covering ground quicker than ever. Why not make the court bigger in the NBA? While it doesn't seem like a huge difference, extending the court width-wise would create more space and improve the flow of the game.
Yeah, I would probably agree, although I think just like with baseball, the NBA season is way too long. Somebody mentioned, I think it was this morning, about how the Wolves have, similar to what the Wild have, where they have like 12 games left, 12 to 14 games left, whatever it is. Or in this show, 13 to 14 games left. The NBA season ends in 3 months. The NBA playoffs go until
same with NHL, yeah.
June. That's too long. The NBA season is way too long. It's way too long. Start it like around the first of the year, and then worry about the court.
So that's what you would change.
I would change that the NBA.
I wish we could do that for all sports. Though.
Yeah.
Baseball's too long, NHL's too long, NBA's too long.
Yeah, and the NFL.
Football's the perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's perfect.
It's just once a week.
Yeah, leave that. The NBA is way too long.
Well, they all are.
Yeah. But
it's not any longer than the NHL.
Fix this. Well, the NHL.
The NHL playing into June is weird.
Yeah, the NHL length of schedule and playoffs is ridiculous. Yeah. Start both those sports around the first of the year. Have that Winter Classic be the first game of the season. Yeah.
Too bad that'll never happen.
No.
Because then they lose money.
Of course, yeah.
So you didn't answer the
I would,
the size of the NBA court.
I mean, that idea.
Hockey has experimented with it, right? I mean, like 20, 30 years ago, there was this big shift in let's get Olympic-sized rings, right?
Yeah.
They did it at Mariucci. And that, I think, that has slowly been phased out. There's not a whole lot of Olympic-sized rinks. It's not as popular as it once was.
Why was that a thing?
Because it was the same thing. It was, well, one, in Europe, they have those size rinks. And then when you play in the Olympics, those are the size rinks you play on. And it's kind of the same thing where hockey players are getting bigger, stronger, faster. So you'd like to have a little more space because everything kind of keeps. I think what's happening in hockey is it's actually kind of slowed the game down a little bit because there is so much space. It's more holding on to the puck the outside. And if there's almost like less action in the middle because they stay out on the perimeter a little bit more. I guess I never thought about it with the NBA. My fear is, and maybe this is a good thing, if you do in the NBA where you make the court wider, that's just gonna, eventually the seven-footers are just going to become extinct.
Correct.
And they're going to be out of the game, and it's just going to be all guys who can run around fast and shoot the ball, which might be more exciting.
Yeah. I would change it to what they are saying, but then it would drastically change the game, like you were saying.
Yeah. The next one on 11 things that they would change by the USA Today, and this one I care the least about, so if you want to spend 3 seconds on it, that's fine. They said they would create a rotation for Olympic host cities. So they're saying, how would it work? LA is hosting the 2028 Olympics, Summer Olympics. Sydney gets the 2032 games. London gets the 2036 games. And then a wild card, maybe a nation in Africa, a continent that has never hosted the Olympics in 2040. Then it goes back to LA and they just go on this rotation. Yeah. I don't care where the Olympics
are. Yeah, the Olympics are fun for about 15 minutes.
I mean,
like, that's boring.
It might be good in regards of, I mean, how many stories do you hear now where they're place hosting the Olympics, they put in billions and billions of dollars, and then after it's done, well, they never use those facilities again. So from that standpoint, it would make more sense to just, let's just do a rotation. So LA has the facilities 20 years from now when the rotation comes back away. But
yeah, don't
ultimately, I don't
care. Bankrupt cities. Yeah, I agree with you.
Here's one I agree with. I don't know what side you'll be on. Expand the college football playoff. Double the bracket to 8 teams with an automatic berth for each Power 5 champion and either 2 or 3 at-large berths. The selection committee can choose the at-large entrants and seed the bracket. Give the group of 5's best team a berth if it meets a rankings threshold. I didn't like when they had the 2 teams for the football playoff. I didn't like when they had 4. I'm an 8 guy.
Yeah.
It gives, one, I think it keeps more teams interested as the season goes along, right? And if you're a team that starts off 0-2 and you can go on a little bit of streak, now you still have a shot to get into the 8, whereas otherwise your season's over early on.
I think the problem with this is there isn't an answer. Because if you go to 8, then there's the 12 people. Then if you go to 12, then there's the...
I would do 16, too.
Yeah, I mean, 16 would be a great number. And I would start it basically just go from whenever the season ends, do like a 2-week bye. When, you know, the season ends, what, around Thanksgiving? And then do like a 2-week bye and then go. You could have every Saturday night, you could have these playoff games. You could have them, Friday, Saturday all day.
Sure. Pick
bars would love it. It'd be a great idea. It'd make for great, college football playoffs is super fun when they're competitive. Last year, they really weren't.
But that's the thing, though. If you can get to 8, you'll at least get some different teams in the mix on any division, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm sick of the...
Right.
Alabama, Clemson, and then, one of the big two in the Big Ten, Oklahoma, Ohio State.
Yeah.
I'm sick of just the same teams, you get to 8, a Wisconsin slides in every once in a while. Hey, maybe you have an amazing season on a PJ. Like if you're the, I know. But if you're a Gopher fan, at the beginning of the year, you have no chance to get into a 4-team playoff.
Right.
Right? But if you start getting into 8 teams, 12 teams, 16 teams, now you're thinking, hey, we're not going to be here all the time, but if we have a year where everything goes together,
sure,
we got a shot.
Like the Gophers did before
we can be in the tournament.
Before they lost to Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah.
With Mason.
Yes.
They would have made a 16-team playoff. I'm all for it. Absolutely. Because then it makes the games more interesting. That's a really good
idea. I would care more.
Yeah, I would too. And
as of right now, as a Gopher fan, I have no reason to care ever about the team.
More things to bet on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is the most important.
That's all that matters.
All right. We have 3 more of these left. I think this is one of those I don't care about. I think you might.
Okay.
Play the Super Bowl on a Saturday night.
100% agree with you. 100%.
Oh, with me?
You don't care about
it? I don't care.
I agree. 100%.
I think most people that booze during the Super Bowl I'm sick. I got to go to work the next day. I'm hungover.
Which I don't. I don't really, because I have to work.
Sure.
And I probably wouldn't. I probably should slow down on my drinking to begin with. But I would love it just, and this is selfish, but hey, everything's about me. And if I'm not having fun, no one gets to have fun. The game ends at like 10:30 or 11. Like I get up early. You know what I mean? Like some of these people, and I think a lot of businesses would love it because a lot of people I know take that Monday off. Because hey, there's nothing wrong with having 3 or 4 cocktails and not wanting to get up and go to work. I get that. Just because, or you take the day off because you're out of your routine and you want to sleep in after being up late, or maybe the party you go to is further away. I 100% agree with that. I think they should put it on a Saturday, and the bars would love it. Bars would love sure. that. There'd be less Super Bowl home parties. Oh, yeah. I think that...
Football's made for Sunday.
But
Sunday's the day I want to sit around my house.
Sure, but
I don't know why.
Super Bowl Saturday, you got all day to just move on the next day on Sunday?
We could call it Super Saturday.
Yeah, Super Saturday or Sassy Saturday.
Sassy Saturday.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Duh.
All right, two more. Let college athletes profit off their name and image. So with while the idea of schools paying salaries to college athletes would be controversial and complex, particularly given gender equality, equity, Title IX considerations, allowing them to trade on their name, image, and likeness in the obvious free market solution is the obvious free market solution to America's growing unease with the inequity of a system that artificially restricts many athletes from capitalizing on their value.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Let them. Yeah, I'd pay. Yeah, of course. I mean, that NCAA football game, the video game, all the time, like all these,
if their names are on it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they should. Yeah, of course. I mean,
we should have a KFAN video game.
Yeah, we should. What would it
all
be?
All the personalities are like characters.
Just me storming around swearing. Cool.
You're the one who gets angry all the time.
Yeah, I do. I have a little bit of, some issues. But yeah, I agree with it. I think they should pay them. I mean, think how much money alone the university, Texas A&M, made off of Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. Now, they're not saying the colleges would pay the athletes. They're just saying they should be able to make money off of their likeness. Right,
yeah. So, think of all the Nike ads,
like their jerseys
and all
are
that.
Getting sold.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they are. They just don't have Manziel's jersey. Doesn't have Manziel on the back.
Sure.
It's just the letter 2.
Yeah. And finally, maybe the most controversial one, eliminate the national anthem before sporting events. They said playing the anthem before football, baseball, basketball, hockey, and soccer games has become a lazy excuse for patriotism. Standing at attention or a loose approximation of it for 2 minutes or no more proves love of country or gratitude for those who serve than wearing an American flag pin does. It's controversial. I understand. I mean, let's face it. The fact that the national anthem is played before sporting events really doesn't make any sense. That being said, and on top of that, I've always found it odd that like they'll play it at Wild games and then, 70% of the team isn't even American. You got like guys from Finland and Sweden and Canada out there playing, and all of a sudden they're standing to attention for the American flag.
Yeah.
Seems a little odd and weird. That being said, O Canada rules.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. It's a great song. And I don't know. It's just like a tradition I've grown up in, and I like hearing the song.
I'm all for it.
You're all for eliminating it?
No. For having it. Keep it as.
What, you want to know why I want to have it the most? Let's say they did take it away. One, whatever league they takes it away first is going to get ripped by 50% of the country.
Yeah.
And two, we're going to have a stinking political debate over the anthem being gone. And I just don't want to put the effort and energy into hearing that debate.
Yeah.
Because that would happen. It would get politicized.
Yeah, and I don't.
And I don't want it to be politicized.
I don't care about that.
All right, we do have some calls. People apparently want to talk about the playoff system. I want to give you some life advice next.
Me?
You ready for some life advice?
Me?
Some life tips, I should say. Not advice. Tips.
Sure.
Tips to make you a happier person.
Good luck.
We'll do
Fan.
Head on over to our contest page to register to win a $75 gift card to Peter's Billiards. KFN.com, keyword contest.
All right, out of everything we talked about, the college football playoff got lots of attention, meat sauce, and antenna B. Let's go right to the phone lines. Let's talk to Danny in Bloomington. Hi, Danny. You're on with meat sauce.
Hey, great show, guys.
Thanks.
Comment about the college football playoff. I know the NCAA never contacted me, or probably not you guys, but I think I got it figured out. 8 teams, I agree with you. You start them on 2 on Christmas Eve, 2 on Christmas Day, play the semifinals on January 1st, you finally have good games there again, and then play the national championship a week out like they do now. So I think that's the system. I don't play the games in December, but the students study. So I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Thanks. So basically, he agrees with us, which means he's a really intelligent
caller. I love that individual.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Let's go to Jesse in St. Cloud. Hi, Jesse. You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Good conversation you guys are having. I would take that one step further. I would say make it an 11-team field.
11?
The top five. Yep. Hear me out.
Okay.
So top five are the Power Five conference winners.
Okay.
And then seed 6 through 11, which is 6 at-large bids. They'd have some sort of rule where no more than 2 or 3 from power conferences. And then week 1 would be 8 versus 9, 7 versus 10, 6 versus 11. Then week 2, 1 plays the 8-9, 2 plays the 7-10, 3 plays the 6-11, with 4 playing 5. And then play it from there. So it'd be a total of 4 weeks. And then you can follow the same format, first games between Christmas and New Year's. Then you'd be playing towards the end of January, 4 weeks.
Why 11 and not 12?
Because the top 5 power conferences should all get byes.
Okay.
Or shouldn't have to play the first week. So if you did 12, then one of the top 5 power conference champions would still be playing the first week against an at-large.
Got it.
So then if you have a team like Alabama that somehow loses their conference, they're going to be playing a team that got, a conference championship, which maybe that's fair, maybe it's not. But just my idea was that by giving the top 5 power conference champions a reason to win their championship, make that game more important to championship week because you get a bye the first week and you're not playing an at-large.
All these years we've been doing even number of teams, and he's come up with a brilliant idea of 11. It actually makes some sense.
Yeah, I love that idea. Jesse, you're genius.
Like I said, if you do it 11, at least starting on a year, the Gophers could go, hey, there's a chance we could get into the 11.
Yeah.
Everything would have to go right.
Right.
But at least it's possible now.
Yeah.
And now your fan base is more excited, and there's more college football fan base.
More sidelines to run up and down.
Andrew in Rochester. Hi, Andrew.
I like this 11-team deal. I think that's wise. But my question that I want to get you guys' thoughts on is for these multi-sport athletes, these guys that play football and then they go wrestle or possibly play hockey. If we're lengthening the playoff season, what does that do to them possibly maybe not being able to play both sports or having to miss the first few weeks? I'll hang up and get you guys' thoughts.
Thanks, Andrew. I mean, I don't know how many college football players are playing other sports.
Yeah,
you may get a track athlete occasionally. That's why if you do the 8-team, it's going one more week.
Yeah.
It can't.
Yeah.
They've already extended it far enough out anyway. They could start that earlier, right? You don't have to wait till January 4th before you start your college football playoff. You could just do now on December 26th and you're still on the same schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't matter. Yeah.
Ryan in Shoreview. Hi, Ryan. You're on the Fan.
Hey, love the program, guys. I called to talk about a different topic, though, so I don't know
Believe me, I'm fine getting away from the college football topic.
Okay, well, you guys talked about the national anthem. I think playing sports, even for money sometimes, is a great benefit of living in the United States, and I don't think it hurts to take a couple of minutes before a game to recognize the people in the country that makes that possible.
Ryan, I have no issue with that. I'm just saying, in general, why just do it for sporting events, right? I mean, there's really not that connection with the sporting event. Like, you could do that. Why don't we do that before I go to see a musical, right? I mean, it's just, I'm fine with it happening because it's been going my entire life and I enjoy it. But there's really not really a purpose behind it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, why can't you do a national anthem for anything? Why not do a national anthem before we start the Power Trip morning show? You know what I mean? Like, why is sports different, I guess, is my point.
I think that, that amount of money that these guys are able to make, off of it is kind of it's not possible in every country. So
you haven't seen how much the morning show is making here. They're making quite a bit. All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks.
Dale in Andover. Hi, Dale.
Hey, guys. I got a question for Stoss.
Yeah.
I was wondering who has better calves, you or Barbaro?
Genius. I'd say the other guy.
Thanks, Dale.
Yeah, thanks, Dale.
He lied to our call screener. He said he wanted to talk about the NFL playoff structure.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. You do have better calves than Phil Mickelson. He was trying to show his off on social media a couple weeks ago.
Thank you.
You win that competition.
Thank you. A lot of people are like, you lose. False.
No.
No. Mine are phenomenal.
Yes.
Little pasty right now. Little haven't seen the sun in a while. But sure. Hey, yeah, we'll get him back up and running soon.
Brian and Isanti, you're on the fan. Hi.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Love you. I got to nominate Sauce for that no name on the back of the jersey, letter two.
Oh, did you say letter?
He said letter two.
Yeah. We're on the radio. We talk for hours at a time. We're bound to say dumb stuff every once in a while and make mistakes.
It's fine.
It happens.
Fine. All right, man.
Thanks,
love the
Brian.
Show.
That's what he called into.
Sorry, you're so perfect at your job.
Yeah, Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect?
There was a video I watched last night.
That GIF is brilliant. Yeah, I gotta get the audio for that.
Yeah, and Jim Carrey, like, comebacks, they're brilliant. like, of all his movies.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey's genius. I love
He's
Jim
really good.
Carrey.
Yeah, he kind of faded away a little
bit. Well, yeah, but.
John and Spicer, you're on the fan. Hi, John.
Yeah, I think, other than listening to you guys, I listen to Dan Patrick a little bit, too.
Yeah.
And he's got a great thing for the... You eliminate those stupid conference championship teams, first of all, and then you go to six teams where you give the two top seeds the bye, and then you go from there on that. And I want to say to everybody, tip one to Kirby tonight. He'd have been 59 today. And... you guys do a good job around
Thanks,
there.
John. Appreciate it.
Thanks, yep, babe.
How old are you, Sus?
36.
Okay, so you saw enough of the prime of Kirby Puckett.
I was at Game 6 of the World Series.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I was Game 7 of the World Series in 87.
Yeah.
I was pretty young, though, yeah.
That's sweet.
All I remember is the last play. But for I think for guys that are our age, right, that we grew up, you know, when the 91 World Series happened, I'm 11 years old. So that's like just prime rubedom.
Oh, yeah.
And to have Kirby Puckett be the athlete in this town, it's still.
Oh, yeah.
I know he had some stuff later in life off the field that might tarnish his image a little bit. But from a pure athlete standpoint, one of the most favorite athletes I've ever had in my life.
Same. I don't think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, though.
Why?
He,
what are you talking about?
I don't think Kirby Puckett belongs in the Hall.
What?
Game. I don't think he does. No.
What? He was like in the All Star game like every single year.
Sure, but he didn't have 3,000 hits. He had 200.
Well, he got his eye knocked out by a pitch. Well,
but he had 207 home runs and his career batting average. This is my Mark Rosen impression.
Something like
something like 318 or 319
That's
overall
pretty good.
Batting average. I don't think Kirby Puckett belongs in the
Hall.
He went
Gold Gloves. How many Gold Gloves did he win? And then after you find out the Gold Gloves, I have one more piece.
He won six.
Okay, six Gold Gloves. I'd also have another piece of evidence I would like to...
Did he ever win an MVP?
Hold on. I have some more evidence for you.
Okay. Well, yeah. From Mitchell, he will
see you tomorrow night. He said, climb on my back, Sauce, in a World Series.
Okay. Okay, Joe Carter also is in the Hall of Fame. No, Joe Carter is not in. Oh, he was. Joe Carter.
Kirby Puckett's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Kirby Puckett does not belong in the Hall of Fame. With 207 home runs and 2,300 hits?
Yeah, sorry, it was before steroids.
No, Kirby Puckett does not belong in the Hall of Fame. I love him. He's the greatest Minnesota athlete of all time. He does not belong in the Hall of Fame. He doesn't. 318 batting average?
318 is a pretty good average.
Never won an MVP?
Did he win a World Series MVP?
I would assume.
Oh, no, Jack Morris had to have won the 91 one.
Right. He never won Kirby Puckett does not belong
in the
Hall
of Fame. Did you see Game 6 of the World Series?
I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
Did you see the catch off the glass?
So?
Did you see the home run in what, the 10th or the 11th inning?
10th.
Off of Charlie Liebrandt?
Yeah.
You watching the same game I was?
I was. Doesn't mean he, but that's one game.
Oh, he was pretty good.
He doesn't belong
he
in
He had
Hall
a very good career.
Doesn't belong
How
in
How many
Hall
All-Star games?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, yeah. Just a 10-time All-Star.
Kirby Puckett doesn't
six-time
belong in
Six-time Gold
Glover. Doesn't belong in
Bert Hall of Fame. Blyleven's in the frickin' Hall of Fame.
He doesn't belong in Hall of Fame either.
Okay,
either
if you want to go with that route, that's fine.
No.
If Bert Blyleven is in the Hall of Fame, then Kirby Puckett's in the Hall of Fame. I don't want to hear
70% of baseball doesn't belong in Hall of Fame. Jack Morris
well, that's a whole
other
debate.
Jack
then.
Morris doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. No, Kirby Puckett doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. Sorry. I know it's his birthday.
I used to be friends with you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, this the friendship has just ended.
Yeah, join
this. This is my favorite athlete of all time.
Yeah, okay. Really?
Yes.
Of all time?
I was a young kid
Not
when he
Mike
was.
Madonna?
I was a young kid when he was doing this.
And a deep left center from Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
No, Kirby Puckett does not belong.
The smile.
Sure.
The fist pump as he's rounding second base. He was clutch. The reason he doesn't have 3,000 hits is because he got hit in the face with a pitch. Otherwise, he would have.
Maybe 700 away.
He was a good hitter. He was a good player, good defender. By the way, you think Miguel Sano was a little overweight? Kirby Puckett had a few extra pounds on him.
Yeah, the puck pack wailed.
The puck pack.
It was one of the greatest things of all time.
Oh.
I love Kirby Puckett. He doesn't belong in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
You know, I used to defend you when you take a lot of
literally, you take
a lot of heat on social media.
No one defends me in this. I found out basically the sales
you take
staff
a lot of heat
the biggest diva in the building.
Well, let's just move on to the phone calls.
Jeez.
Larry Mondello guy, you're on the fan. Hi.
Hey, I want to first off thank Sauce because this Kirby Puckett thing, I found another way to get Tennessee going. This is going to be great. boy, the passion really comes out when you start criticizing Kirby Puckett.
Yeah, you don't criticize Kirby.
Yeah.
Our dog was named after him, for God's sake.
I think about half the dogs in the state were named after Kirby Puckett for a certain period.
I think a lot of,
time.
Of pets were, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mostly just wanted to call in and experience the new Tenor Fitzgerald just to see what kind of different feel it had. But I was also going to tell you, I'm going to go down to that auto show and try to win that $100,000.
Sweet.
What's that?
Sweet.
Yeah. I think the code's 12345 because I think Common came up with it. And then what I'm going to do
Brilliant.
Is I'm going to take that $100,000 and I'm going to go on. I've had this dream vacation I've thought of for a long time. I want to go surfing in Antarctica.
So. Brilliant. Brilliant. Hey, Larry Mondello guy, what are you doing a week from Saturday?
Well, this Saturday I'll be at the Joke Joint in St. Paul this Saturday.
What about next Saturday?
Next Saturday. I'm going to be at the New Hope Cinema Grill, two shows, 7 and 9:30. I'm not sure who's headlining it, but somebody hired me to be there. Do you know?
Yeah, I think it's me. Headlining? Yeah, me.
Oh, yeah.
Common and I co-headline. Yes, sir.
That is going to be I've been to some of those shows. You don't get a better value in your entertainment than the Flop, Sweat, and Tears Winter Wonderland Tour, I'll tell you that. So, two shows, 7 and 9:30. I think it's cinemagrill.com is the website.
All right, thanks, Thank LMG.
All right, see you guys.
We got breaking
Vikings news. Ian Rappaport just tweeted, the Vikings and pass rusher Everson Griffin have struck a deal for him to remain on the team.
Nice. I think that's probably wise on Everson Griffin's part, because if he didn't, he was getting cut. We'll see what the salary numbers are. We'll see how much of a cut.
And they need him.
I would think he'd have to take like 50% pay cut.
I would agree
with
you.
I'm guessing he's going to be like in the 5.5 range.
Yeah.
But that being said, after the season he just had at his age, I don't know how much he's getting on the free agent market. So it's probably a fair deal for both teams. Well, we don't know the deal yet. Well, that's great. Everson Griffin returns. You're never returning on the show again because you hate Kirby Puckett.
I don't hate him. He just doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
I'm done with you.
Okay, bye.
Joe, thank you so much for helping today. Sauce, thanks for your help. You're the best. Lil B, Tom Curvers, thanks to everyone who joined the show today. The Tenor Fitzgerald is done. It's over. Dave Sinekin hosts tomorrow. Then the common man, Dan Cole, returns on Monday. Dan Barrero next. I'm sure he will talk about Everson Griffin remaining with the Minnesota Vikings on a new deal. I'm sure he'll talk about that next. Thanks so much for listening. It's been a good day.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.